I mean, tell people why it's safe. I mean, is it? I,
Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Miliano. 12,000 standing, 10,000 in training. The numbers put out in this audio tape said to be the leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And they could be coming from Afghanistan. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker says intelligence agencies have been warned that Al-Qaeda may be planning to attack air and rail service in Europe.
Arab and other intelligence sources tell CBS News that in the last 6 months, the mountains and battlefields of Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda has withdrawn well-trained Arab fighters. Using routes through former Soviet republics, Pakistan, Dubai, and reviving a route through Iran, hundreds of fighters have returned to their home countries throughout the Arab world.
Ronan Runegard is the head of terrorism research at Singapore's Institute for Defense and Strategic Studies and says the fighters appear to have left Afghanistan and headed back to their home countries.
Arabs are much more useful for bin Laden if they're deployed in their home countries, particularly in the Middle East, to target Western assets.
More details will be on the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric. For the baby boomers, he was a rough and rugged cowboy, a craggy-faced menace and shame and sudden fear.
We'll have a second honeymoon. No servants, no visitors, just the two of us.
Sounds wonderful.
It'll be wonderful. I'll start to pack right away.
For the boomers' kids, he was an Oscar-winning parody of himself in City Slickers. Jack Palance has died at his California home in Montecito. Family at his bedside. Jack Palance was in his mid-80s. Another promise of bipartisan cooperation. Yesterday it was House leadership. Today, leading Democrats from the Senate, meeting with President Bush. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
Declaring that the elections are over, President Bush wants to be seen displaying a spirit of bipartisan cooperation.
There is a great opportunity for us to show the country that Republicans and Democrats are equally as patriotic and equally concerned about the future, and that we can work together.
And sounding humble in defeat, Mr. Bush told the Democrats they ran good campaigns. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Democrats will be in control in the Senate when the new Congress takes over, and soon-to-be majority leader, Senator Harry Reid, says he got no rejection from President Bush today on his priority.
I believe that first order of business, when we reorganize after the first year, is congressional oversight.
This should come as no surprise, not with house values not climbing, maybe sliding, but payments climbing, what with equity and then some maxed out, and homeowners in trouble. Realty Track, a real estate data firm, says more than 318,000 properties in the U.S. entered some stage of foreclosure in the third quarter. That's up 17%. Stocks closed higher today after a day of moderate trading. The Dow finished with a gain of 5. The Nasdaq was up 13.75%. This is CBS News.
In a small town not far from you lives a young man named Odd Thomas. He has an unusual gift. He can see the spirits of the dead. Odd Thomas has no reason to fear the dead, but today he has every reason to be afraid. Read Forever Odd, the remarkable new thriller from Dean Koontz, best-selling author of Odd Thomas. Let Dean Koontz's extraordinary new novel grab you forever. Forever Odd by Dean Koontz, a Bantam paperback.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you call 1-800-989-4200, you get a real person within seconds, not a five-minute menu of buttons to push. Here's another old-fashioned idea. My 8-pound Orrick XL vacuums are built to last long after you've thrown the other brands away. Call 1-800-989-4200. I'll send you one to try risk-free for 30 days. Of course, if you'd rather talk to a machine, you can always call someone else.
In case you didn't know why you had a three-day weekend, this is Veterans Day.
At the World War II Memorial.
Well, having been in the South Pacific and around way back then, and coming back now is a big difference. Big, big difference.
He says today's young people can't understand the sacrifices made by those who fought then. but not far away at the Vietnam Memorial.
Now these veterans are honored, as they should be, in the proper manner.
It could be a difference of time and perspective. Ira Melman for CBS News on the National Mall in Washington.
It apparently worked for a while, till it got caught. You go to the freezer in Northwest Philly Deli and take two Hugs soft drinks. At the register, you pay with $25 and you get no change. It's not that the Hugs were so exclusive, but the pot you got was marijuana. 52-year-old owner and a couple of employees now under arrest. I'm Lou Milligano, CBS News.
And now another yellow tail.
I recently had a beautiful baby girl. She's gorgeous, big blue eyes, button nose. But I digress. My story is about your wine. After 9 long months of no yellowtail, I went to the store and there were so many to choose from. Reds, whites. So finally, I did what any yellowtail lover would. I bought them all.
Yellowtail fact number 23. There are lots of yellowtail wines, including our new reserves. Imported by W.J. Deutsch & Sons, White Plains, New York. Please drink responsibly.
Okay, Mr. Cold is out there, and he's coming. What can you do? Get dual-action Healthy Relief cold-reduce lozenges now. Why? Because they're dual-action. They relieve your cold symptoms and are formulated to reduce the duration of your cold by days. So when Mr. Cold comes knocking, you can escort him out fast. Homeopathic Healthy Relief cold-reduce lozenges. A better way to feel your best, fast. Also in flu formula, at retailers everywhere. Read and follow label warnings and directions.
It's been a long, stressful week. Not enough sleep for most of us. But it's time to celebrate. What do you say? Let's get this party started. I am your humble host, Peter B. Collins. Welcome to the show they named after me. We've got a great edition of the Peter B. Collins Show for you today. In just a few minutes, Nico Pitney will join us from the Center for American Progress. And we're going to talk about the lame duck session of the House and Senate that gets underway next week. The Republican majority still firmly in charge. What will they try to jam through? Maybe the NSA Spying Legalization Act with a little amnesty for Bush administration officials? Also, we're going to talk with the man who defeated Richard Pombo here in California on Tuesday, Jerry McNerney, Congressman-elect, coming up in about half an hour. And before the end of this hour, a San Francisco Chronicle reporter, and he's going to tell me how to pronounce his name, I think it's Garofoli, Joe Garofoli, wrote a piece about the youth vote on Tuesday, and we'll talk about that. Next hour, we'll spend the hour with our contributor on military and veteran affairs in honor of Veterans Day. Today's the designated holiday. Tomorrow's the 11th of November, the actual holiday. Scott Dick is our contributor on military and veterans issues, and Rumsfeld is on his mind today. Imagine that. And then we're going to talk about the election and some of the simmering problems that remain. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com in his usual Friday spot. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and at any moment you can join the conversation. That's why we provide a toll-free line and invite you to call. 888-5-PETER-B is my number, 888-573-8372. You can also email me, that's peter@peterbcollins.com. Hey, and MoveOn.org is inviting you and me and just about everybody else who wants to celebrate the Democratic victories in Washington. I got an email yesterday, and in my own neighborhood, there are a number of parties that are happening on Saturday night, and it's called a big old grassroots victory party, and I think it's really cool. If you're not a MoveOn subscriber, why don't you go to MoveOn.org, and you can register or just check out, and there are people all over the country who are opening their homes on mostly on Saturday, it looks like, but I think there are a few. Let me check here. Well, on this list, they're all on Saturday. And some of the events are already packed. The event is full, it says here. Here's one, it says, at Matt's house in Berkeley. Hey, Matt, did you know about this? They're having a party at your house. And at Matt's house in Berkeley so far, the title of that party is Oh My God, a Democratic Senate 2. 46 people have registered. There's a room for 60 there. And actually, Matt Cantor is the host of that event. Another one in Berkeley at the Claremont Hotel. Hear brief remarks from Arthur Blaustein, professor at UC Berkeley, where he teaches community development, public policy, and politics. Bring snacks or drinks. Another one I saw said that they do have Wi-Fi, so your BlackBerry will work. There's the No More Blue State Blues Party that is happening in Petaluma, hosted by Laura and Dale. The description, two friendly dogs, one obtrusive, unobtrusive cat, two steps into the house. No word about the Wi-Fi, huh? And then there's going to be a house concert by Johnny Harper, a blues performer. And if you stay for the house concert, they suggest a $10 to $15 donation, and the first $10 goes to Johnny. Oh, this is great. This really is. And I think this is the perfect grassroots way to gather people together. And here's one of the fears that I have. I was talking with a friend a couple of hours ago, and we have this very conciliatory tone that the Democrats are sounding right now. And I don't object to that overall. But what I worry is that Democrats are going to relax. They're going to say, we did our job, we elected a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate, and now we're just going to sit back and let the government thing do its thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our work has just begun. And as progressives, we're going to have to keep the pressure on Democrats and Republicans so that we don't see a reversion to the rightward tilt of the neocons. We don't see the Democrats just compromising and trying to move forward so desperately that they overlook some of the key issues, like the process of our elections. We cannot rest simply because we have Democratic majorities now and say, oh, we don't need to worry about those machines and all these funky photo ID rules and the suppression tactics that the Republicans use, because they won't do that again, will they? Well, you bet they will. You bet Karl Rove and those guys are huddling right now, saying, we didn't steal enough votes this year. We've got to revisit our plans. So I believe that our work has just begun, but I'm looking forward to a restful weekend. I'm going to attend a couple of these move-on parties in my area, and I hope you will too. Celebrate with like-minded people and pass the message that our work has just begun. Please do not let up. In a moment, Nico Pitney will join us. We'll talk about this lame duck session of Congress and what kind of damage they might do between now and Christmas. And if you'd like to join us, do so. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. And later this hour, congressional victor Jerry McNerney, the guy who dispatched Richard Pombo. He'll be joining us here on the Peter B. Collins program. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? more people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on this Friday afternoon. 17 minutes past the hour. And joining me now is Nico Pitney. He's, along with Faz Shakir, one of the co-editors of the Progress Report over at the Center for American Progress inside the Beltway, just a few blocks from the White House there in Washington. Nico, how's your mood? Is it lifted without any, antidepressants?
How'd you guess, Peter? It's, not only is it a Friday, but it's also the week of a major shift here. So yeah. The town seems a lot brighter.
Well, and the progressives can put down their Prozac for a while, I guess.
Exactly.
I didn't have to go that route, but I know some people, I'm not sure that it was all related to politics, but they spent the last few years, slightly medicated just to help them get through on a day-to-day basis.
Sure.
So, Nico, I asked you to join us today because I wanted to speculate together on what's going to happen starting Monday when the House and Senate reconvene for a lame duck session. And for people who aren't familiar with this term, what it means is the leadership has not yet changed. Denny Hastert will still be in charge. Bill Frist will still be in charge of the Senate. And a lot of damage can be done in this lame duck session before the Democrats actually achieve control in January. Now, we've heard that the John Bolton nomination, or the confirmation of his recess appointment, is likely to fall by the wayside because Lincoln Chafee, despite his defeat in Rhode Island the other day, will not roll over and approve the Bolton nomination. Now, that's a kind of anti-lame duck position to take.
It is, although, he's gone further than that. He's said now that he's not sure he's going to remain a Republican. He's thinking of switching parties now. He's out there. You know, he was asked, "Are you happy that the Democrats took control?" And he said, "Yeah, actually, I am."
Wow, that's a selfless position to take.
It makes you wonder why he didn't switch after 2004. You know, he didn't vote for President Bush in 2004. He said he voted for President Bush's father, wrote his name in. But you wonder why he just didn't switch over. He was the only Republican in the Senate to vote against the Iraq War originally. He was a decent guy.
Yeah. Do you think there was pork in it for him, that he felt that he had to deliver for his state in order to get reelected?
He may very well have. I'm sure they offered him, the Republicans, everything under the sun to stay in the party and then spend millions upon millions in his primary race against a more conservative Republican. Mm-hmm. So they really wanted to keep him there.
Yeah. Now, your colleague from the Center for American Progress, Lawrence Korb, was on the NewsHour and delivered a blistering critique of Robert Gates, who has been nominated to serve as Rumsfeld's replacement at the Department of War or Defense, take your pick. And I share Larry's concerns. And I am concerned that the Democrats are going to be so interested in playing nice and showing bipartisanship that they're going to permit his nomination not only to be heard before the end of the lame duck session, but maybe even to be voted out in favor. What's the sense you're picking up about Democratic reaction to the Gates nomination?
I think you're right about it coming during the lame duck. I think they're going to move on it now. The news reports today were that it'd be as early as the first week of December. And I think you're right that they are going to take a fairly open view towards him, a fairly positive view towards him, and I don't think it's necessarily warranted. The question here is there's a difference between a person and a policy, and there are some positive signs from Gates. You know, he was a confidant of Brent Scowcroft, who's been a critic of the war. He signaled that he does, you know, he doesn't want a long-term commitment there, but that doesn't mean that once he's in there, he's going to be able to change policy with Dick Cheney and President Bush and these others over top of him.
Well, I agree. The signals that have surfaced so far indicate that he's been, privately very critical of Rumsfeld's performance, that as a member of the Baker Commission, his trip to Baghdad opened his eyes, and he again shared sharp criticism that the administration has let things get so far out of hand before reacting with policy changes. So some of the messages attributed to Gates so far, are not that discouraging. However, the history here of Bob Gates is that, and we had a powerful interview with Mel Goodman on this program on Wednesday, and Mel Goodman served at the CIA for 25 years, was a part of the Soviet unit that Gates was leading at the time, and was there when he became the head of CIA in 1991. And he says he's a micromanager who politicized intelligence around the Soviet issues, missed the implosion of the Soviet Union, as so many of our spooks did. And he and Condi Rice, of course, are supposed to be these Soviet experts, and I don't consider that to be a great resume for the current challenges that we face. And finally, that he clearly politicized intelligence and was accused of lying to Congress around the Iran-Contra affair. So Gates' history gives me great pause, and this is where I believe Democrats should draw a line and say, try again, Mr. President. And go for somebody who's outside of you and your father's inner circle.
I think that's a very reasonable case, and I think both of those issues. I mean, the two to me the most prominent are the politicization of intelligence, which has been a massive problem under this administration. You've got the CIA and tatters, management not trusted, morale extremely low because these professionals who don't consider themselves in the political sphere, they want to make accurate judgment that reflect reality. They've been the victims of a campaign of pressure from the administration, and the fact that Gates was involved in this the last time he was at Langley is not a good sign. And also the fact that he is part of that inner circle that goes back 10-15 years. We need some new blood in these levels of government.
Well, and the cynical side of me, Nico, thinks about, okay, Bob Gates was there when Dick Cheney was running the Pentagon and Gates was running the CIA during the first war with Iraq. And, I consider that to be a negative, because it suggests that he will keep secret some of the misdeeds, the cooked intelligence, and the other elements that led us into this war, because he is a political loyalist, and he has been counted on in the past to, A, keep secrets, and, B, deliver for the politicians.
Yeah, you know, and I will say that in the Senate, I think we're seeing a lot less willingness on the part of the Democrats right now to get aggressive. I think there's a sense in the House that because there's no filibuster rules, you rarely need a supermajority to get stuff passed. They can be a bit more aggressive, but in the Senate, they've still got to work with these Republicans. Most everything will take 60 votes to get passed, and Democrats only have 49 technically. There's two independents. Lieberman will probably vote against them on a good number of occasions. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to work across the aisle, and that may not bode well for Gates being rejected.
Well, I also feel that clever Democrats could find ways short of a filibuster to slow the process down and push it past Christmas and into the new Congress, where the Democrats will be in control, and clearly the tone would be far different.
Sure. And I think especially, if not just on the Gates nomination, there's also the fact that President Bush and Frist, Senate Majority Leader Frist, have signaled their intention to bring forward this wiretapping legislation that would basically legalize the domestic surveillance program that President Bush has set up after 9/11. And that is all absolutely awful legislation, and it really should not be considered during the lame duck.
It's amnesty for criminal behavior.
Exactly.
That's what it is. And if amnesty, you know, isn't good enough for undocumented immigrant residents, I don't think it should be extended to Republicans who intentionally broke the law. I am very concerned that they will try to jam the NSA Legalization Act through in this lame duck session. And again, I hope that the Democrats will show some spine and some resourcefulness. I understand the desire to avoid direct confrontations, but you also cannot be conciliatory with people who are going to take advantage of you time and time again. There has to be a balance there. We're joined by Steve from Salinas. Hello, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with me and Nico Pitney.
Good afternoon. And just a couple of dumb questions, probably, but other than Colin Powell, has Bush ever appointed anybody with integrity?
Nico, can you field that one? I'm at a loss.
You know, I actually didn't hear the question.
He wants to know if Bush ever appointed somebody with integrity other than Colin Powell.
He made sure he couldn't keep it.
That's a tough choice. You know, one guy who was actually half decent and he was shoved out of the administration was a guy named William Donaldson, who was head of the SEC for a while at the beginning of the administration. He actually cracked down on some big business practices. He was a decent guy, and naturally enough, he was thrown out after 2 years. So.
Yeah.
And they made sure Colin Powell couldn't keep his integrity.
Well, and we now know that Powell was forced out. He was too polite to say so at the time, but he now has acknowledged, they squeezed me out, and I thought Rumsfeld was going to go out with me.
So the one unforgivable sin is to tell the truth.
Yeah. All right, Steve, thanks for your call today. So, Nico, any other peripheral issues that you think might surface? Most of the appropriation bills remain to be settled.
Exactly, and I think that's one area where the Republicans are going to purposefully push off the work until after the Democrats take power. These appropriation bills are some ugly beasts. There's a lot of wild spending in there. They bring up some very contentious issues, and the Republicans don't want to have that on them. They'd rather have the Democrats have to manage a way to bring people together and get those spending bills passed, and also take the hits for whatever bad stuff is in there.
So we'll have an omnibus continuing resolution to just paper that over and push it into January.
Exactly, that's right. The government is set to shut down in November, and Frist is now looking to keep it open with a short omnibus, right?
All righty. Nico, have a great weekend, and don't celebrate too much.
Thanks very much. You too, Peter.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. That's Nico Pitney at the Center for American Progress. After a break, we return with Jerry McNerney, congressman-elect who defeated Richard Pombo here in California.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunedarealestate.com.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly! Oh.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. It's a Friday, and you got the whole weekend to celebrate. And joining us now is a man who defeated the Neanderthal congressman who wanted to permit oil drilling off the California coastline, oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. He wanted to sell the national parks. He supported the exploitation of sweatshop labor in American Samoa. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Richard Pombo will haunt us no more. And here's the guy who deserves a whole lot of credit for it, Jerry McNerney, congressman-elect here in California. Jerry, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks, Peter, and you actually were good on your word. You invited me back.
Well, it was easy. But now it's harder to get a hold of you because you're in demand and everybody wants to talk to Jerry McNerney. It must just feel great for you.
Well, it certainly is different than what I'm used to, but I'm ready for it. And, Peter, I just look at the challenges we have ahead of us, and it looks like an opportunity and a danger, and let's get our sleeves up and get to work.
Yeah. So, a 4-year quest, and you beat Pombo this time by 10,000 votes. That exceeded my expectations, Jerry.
Well, some people were saying it'd be 10,000, and some people were saying it would be 10. So, we had a range. I knew we were going to win it. Just kept working hard, and the volunteers and the grassroots, and they were just coming forth with so much energy and enthusiasm, it was unstoppable.
Well, and I took a look at the returns across California in the congressional races, and you're the only upset. And due to redistricting and the power of incumbency, really only a few people even suffered a diminution of their victory total. Jane Harmon was below 60% for the first time in recent years. But virtually every other incumbent was reelected with more than 60% of the vote.
Well, this is a tough race. This is a tough district, and I know I'm going to have a tough race in 08 and again in 010. So I just need to do the best job I can, serve the constituents, and help get our country back in the right track.
What do you think is the fair way to draw districts?
Oh, there's. I think we got to turn over to independent people of some sort. Other than that, I don't know. That's a tough question.
Well, I'm just considering your district, and I got a release from your folks that you're going around meeting, greeting, and thanking supporters, and you're going to be in Morgan Hill, Discovery Bay, Tracy, Lodi. I mean, Jerry, you ought to get a helicopter.
I know. It's kind of a crazy district, but, you know, the thing I like about it, really, that I love about this district, really, is that it's so diverse. I mean, we have a little microcosm of our entire country. We've got suburbs, we've got exurbs, we've got rural, we've got urban, and it's all coming together, and it's great to meet people of that much variety.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, we saw that there was very little shuffle in the Assembly or the State Senate here in California. And, again, I just believe that we need a fair redistricting plan that creates competitive districts. And at the same time, you know, I'd like to see you stay in the House for the foreseeable future and build up some seniority and be able to really develop your own legislative legacy. At the same time, I'm sure the Republicans know the registration in your district, and they're going to be back in 08 with Pombo or with somebody else, you know, equally powerful, equally funded.
Well, there's no question they're going to make this a targeted race, and that's fine. That's part of the process. It'd be nice if there were more targeted races around, but we'll manage it. We'll serve our constituents, and I'll get a solid record of achievement on in the first couple of years and make good of my promise in bringing businesses into our district, and, you know, I think people respond to that.
Mm-hmm. Jerry McNerney's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's take some phone calls. If you'd like to talk with the candidate who defeated Richard Pombo, get on the line right now. He's with us for about another 8 minutes or so. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Cheryl from Arcata, thanks for calling.
Hey, it's so nice to talk to you, Peter, again, and then Jerry, I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you've done. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate the call, and I'm just going to do the best I can in the next 2 years.
Great. Well, we are just very fortunate here in America to have somebody like you in Congress. That's all I can say. People in Humboldt County were really excited and energized to get behind you. We saw your qualifications, having a PhD in mathematics and being a wind energy expert, and we know you're going to take the country in the right direction. So we just want to say thank you so much, and best of luck to you. And if you're
well,
doing
nice
anything,
call,
we're
Cheryl.
Here.
Thank you, Cheryl. That's very kind of you. Really appreciate that. Jerry, you still scratching your head about Prop 87 that would have put a tax on the oil companies who drill and extract oil here in California, and it would have funded alternative energy development. I can't understand, after paying $3 a pump this summer, $3 a gallon at the pump, that people felt sorry for the oil companies and just couldn't imagine putting another tax on them.
Well, I think, Peter, that they were misled into believing that it would rise the price of gasoline at the pump, which it wouldn't have. And that scares a lot of people, of course, because they're paying so much for gas now, and people are, real wages are down. If you have health insurance to pay and college tuition, the price of gasoline, these things add up. So I understand why people were concerned, and unfortunately that was a misleading approach because it wouldn't have affected the gas prices at the pump at all.
Now, the cost of gasoline in California has crept up by about a nickel a gallon just since Election Day. Do you see that as simply the free market at work and the refiners being able to put more product out there? Or, in your view, is there some, at least suspicion, that the prices of retail gasoline were lowered as a favor to the Republicans to try to help them with these midterm elections?
Well, it does seem coincidental, doesn't it, Peter? And you can't help but be suspicious since it went down so precipitously in the last 2 months, and then the day after the election starts going back up. But I wouldn't want to point any fingers at anybody. We'll just let the truth come out. You know, it'll come out.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can study that when you go into Congress.
Maybe I will.
Do you have a sense of what your committee assignments might be?
Well, I'm really hoping I get on the Energy Committee, Energy Commerce, because that's my passion, and I think we really need to work hard on breaking our dependence on oil. But transportation is important. Boy, to my district, it'd be nice to get the BART out a little farther and improve some of our corridors, and then science committee would be a lot of fun because that's an area I'm very well versed in, and of course agriculture because a lot of our district is an ag district, so there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Mm-hmm. And how does the process work? Does the speaker have a team of people who work with the freshman members and say, you know, here's what's open, here's your expertise, let's try to fit these together?
Well, I don't know if I'd call it quite that rational, Peter, but there's a process. There's districts and regions, and the regions put forth some recommendations, and then the leadership committees decide who gets what.
Mm-hmm. That sounds kind of murky.
It does. And then, of course, there's seniority, who's been around longest and one of the considered the best assignments. And, you know, so there's other considerations, too. It's mm-hmm. not a linear process.
Well, just try to stay away from that post office committee. That's a real dead ender. John in Oakland, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with the winning candidate, Jerry McNerney.
Thank you so much. Congratulations, Jerry, and thanks.
Hello, John. Thank you.
I just wanted to point out something that you may or may not know, and that is that Peter B. Collins actually was very helpful back in the spring in setting a foundation, and I don't know if he wants to talk about it.
I think we better out the caller. This is John McManus, and he and I worked together on the Pete McCloskey primary campaign.
Oh, yeah, that was a great campaign.
Peter to the country helped with a lot of the TV and radio advertising, and I don't know that we could have moved the ball without him and hopefully set a foundation for you.
Well, I appreciate you mentioning it, John. And the other thing is I was touched that in his bye-bye news conference, Richard Pombo acknowledged that it was Pete McCloskey's challenge in the primary that really started to unravel his juggernaut.
Oh. But again, Jerry, I just wanted to thank you very much.
I appreciate the call, John, and I'll do my best in the Congress to pay you, you know, to pay you and the members of our district back by bringing jobs here and getting our world to look a little safer.
Very good. Thanks.
All right, John, thanks for checking in today. And you also mentioned that it was George W. Bush's visit to the district and the fundraiser that he held for Pombo that really was the tipping point for you, Jerry McNerney.
Well, it certainly seemed like it turned the tide. I mean, when he came out here, a number of things happened at once there, but that was one of them. And all of a sudden, the media was very interested in this race, and the grassroots started getting more involved. And so my response was to ask the president to come back out, and he didn't do that.
He sent Laura. I mean, the ultimate would have been if Pombo had gone hunting with Cheney on Election Day, but I guess that invite didn't come. Gary in St. Louis, say hello to Jerry McNerney.
Hello, Jerry. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Yes, yes. I think, Jerry, I'm congratulating all Democrats. Right now it's time for the cleansing. Jerry, I am a free thinker. I'm one of those people who think for myself. Been a Democrat all my life. But I want America to send a clear message to Nancy Pelosi that she will do the bidding of the people, and she will not call off the impeachment of George W. Bush if the electorate does not want her to. She will do what we want her to do, or she will be out. Okay?
Well, Gary, what is the source of your imperial power?
Well, I'm all over the internet. But
okay.
Look, I every time Nancy says that, and mm-hmm. the way she says it, it's like she's going to follow the so-called leadership of they're going to buckle down, and this thing is going to kind of continue on. They're going to soften up, and I don't like soft at all. I like hard, you know. So.
All right. Well, Gary, I appreciate the call. Now, Jerry, he brings up an interesting tension that is out there right now. There are a lot of progressives who maybe don't feel quite as much as Gary that they own Nancy Pelosi or that they can tell her what to do. But people have very high expectations. And there is disappointment that she has, quote-unquote, taken impeachment off the table. And I'm one of those people who believes that Bush and Cheney clearly deserve to be fully investigated. And I can see that the charges would be sustained either in government oversight or in judiciary in the House. I also understand the complications and the political calculus about whether impeachment is wise or not at this time. What's your position, and how would you pursue accountability up to and including impeachment?
Well, Peter, I've said all along that I would vote to impeach any president that breaks the law, Democrat or Republican. If it's proven that the current president has broken the law, I will definitely vote for that. But, you know, I'm a practical person. I want to get things done in this country. If it doesn't look like it's going to come forth with evidence on him breaking the law, then we should move on and start addressing some of the enormous problems we have, such as global warming and our dependence on oil and this irresponsible budget deficit. We have some big problems. Let's go after those.
And I don't think it's mutually exclusive. I think we can solve those problems and hold accountable those who have broken the law and misled the American people. And I'd recommend a new book by John Nichols. He writes for The Nation. It's called The Genius of Impeachment. And he talks about the history of it. It's pretty fascinating. So maybe on your next plane ride to Washington, you can pick that up. Jerry, one final question. Many of us still have grave concerns about our electoral process, about the voting machines, about the way the vote was suppressed using legal and illegal tactics, the robo phone calls, the photo ID requirements, many of which were not based on the law but were imposed anyway. What's your approach to cleaning up and standardizing our election rules and systems in this country?
Well, you know, I was listening to President Jimmy Carter the other day on the radio, and he said our system wouldn't pass muster according to the new international election rules. So we do have to concern ourselves with how things are being done in this country. I don't have the answers, of course, but it is time for us to look at that and see if we can make things better so that people have confidence. I mean, the people have to have confidence in the system or they're not going to be participating.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, thank you very much. I wish you all the best. And when you get to Washington, we'll give you a couple of weeks, and then I'll be in touch and love to have you back on the program.
All right, Peter. Invite me back. I'll come.
I sure will. That's Jerry McNerney. Congratulations, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right. He's the man who defeated Richard Pombo. We'll take a break and return, talk about how young people, the youths of America, voted on this Tuesday's Election Day. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to KRXA 540.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Yes, Tuesday's election has rocked the nation. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And at the moment, I'm thinking about the movie My Cousin Vinny. When the lawyer tells the judge, Your Honor, these Utes. I want to know what happened with the Utes of America this year on Election Day. Many of us were disappointed after great expectations in 2004. But it does appear that people under 30 did turn out and did vote in greater numbers than past records would show. Joe Garofoli is a staff writer at the San Francisco Chronicle, and it's his day off today. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for joining us.
No worries. I'm here to talk about the Utes.
The Utes? These Utes?
These Utes.
So what did the Utes do this time? Did they put down their PDAs and their Game Boys and all those devices and actually participate?
Well, you know, they did, but you know what? Even if they didn't, there were a lot of efforts out there to reach them on their PDAs.
Mm-hmm.
And reach them on their cell phones. And the lesson from the 2004 race was that if you connect with young people, and by connecting with them with other young people and talk to them in person, really make an effort, they will come out and vote. And so they did. 2 million more people between, and this is how young people is defined, 18 to 29,
mm-hmm.
voted. 2 million more voted this week in the elections than did in the midterm elections of 2002, which is a comparable because, as you know, people usually snooze through midterm elections as compared to presidential years.
Right. Now, YouTube wasn't even around 2 years ago.
Right.
And this year it was a vital resource, not only to capture the footage from Jon Stewart's Daily Show that I fell asleep during the night before, but also the macaca video. George Allen was defeated by YouTube.
Well, he certainly, the word about that incident certainly spread virally through YouTube. And while it's difficult to measure, you know, how YouTube influenced the election, you can see, you know, how many million people saw this video or such. What it did was it excited young people. It said, wow, politics can be, you know, cool. I can relate to this. This is something that it's speaking to me in my language. I'm on YouTube. I'm checking this stuff out. I'm texting people with through my cell phone. I just for a lark, I signed up to receive text messages from Angelita's campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting, I probably got a couple dozen in the space of a couple of weeks saying, hey, you know, Phil's going to be over here, and Phil's going to be in San Francisco, and Phil's going to be in Oakland. And remember to vote. Now, at 7 a.m., literally, I heard a beep, 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 and I got a text message from the Angelita's campaign telling me to go vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 4:30, no, it was 6:30, I got another one saying, did you vote? Be sure to call people, everyone you know, and tell them to go vote.
Now, based on the post-election analysis, some of the people who got those text messages reminding them to vote that originated from Phil Angelitis got the message and went out and voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, but also maybe they had their cell phones off.
Well, I have to say that it's been a bit of a relief because just since Election Day, my email traffic has dropped by about 50%. I was getting like 12 emails a day from Prop 87 and 6 from Prop 89, and, you know, one or two of them would have been fine, but
right.
They were hitting it pretty hard.
Well, that's what's going to be done in the next couple of weeks. A lot of the folks who have been behind a lot of the new media efforts to spread the word about politics are going to be meeting and together across the country and seeing what worked and what didn't. And they're going to see, like, that's a good question. How many times do we ping somebody with an email or a text message? Were viral videos an effective way to spread the word?
Mm-hmm.
Were video blogs? Some candidates had those. So this is all very experimental at this point.
Yeah.
One of the studies that said, you know, the young people who were contacted, who've actually voted, 46% of them got a call or an in-person or a contact from a campaign. And most of those were still, you know, very old school things. They got a phone call or they were met. Only 3% of them got heard from the campaign from a text message, and 7% through a social network like YouTube. Or, I'm sorry, like
MySpace.
MySpace.
Yeah. I still don't have a MySpace account, and I'm a little worried because I haven't tallied up how many friends I have, Joe.
It can be depressing. It only takes you a few minutes to set one up, though.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking at the lovely graphics that the Chronicle published alongside your article. 60% of these polled, these are people under 29, 18 to 29 voters, reported dissatisfaction with the president's actions on education, college costs, the war in Iraq, and the economy. 61% said they believed America's on the wrong track. 43% said the most important issue to them when deciding whom to vote for was the war in Iraq. And these last two, I think, are quite fascinating. 40% of these 18 to 29-year-olds describe themselves as Democrats, but 50% of them voted for Democrats this time.
Yes, there was a great deal of crossover, and a lot of it, as you said by the previous numbers, are because they're dissatisfied with the way the country's going, and you know, and there seems to be a certain number of young people who are, I mean, there's a lot of young people I think who are dissatisfied with politics and the two dominant political parties, and they're open, they're there for the catching, and they have to, but you have to speak to the young people in their language. You have to talk about issues. You know, you can have all the YouTube videos you want, and you can text message the hell out of people, but if you're not talking about, you know, prescription drug benefits, that's not an issue that's really going to tickle young people.
Well, they've all got grandparents.
Yes, but you know, they much rather hear about forgiving their college loans or you know, making education more affordable to people.
Understood. Yeah. So, bottom line, the Utes participated. They responded to some of the new media approaches.
Yes.
Will they now go back to their Game Boys and, you know, go back to Britney Spears and just kind of let the adults run the asylum?
Oh, I don't think so. I think this generation that we're talking about is, you know, obviously very engaged digitally, and it's, they are very connected, and I think they're very interested in politics. They're not interested in politics the way it's been done for generations, but they're interested in a new way of doing things. I think they'll definitely stay engaged in higher numbers than their predecessors.
Joe, nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
Joe Garofoli from the San Francisco Chronicle talking about the Utes of America and how they voted this past Tuesday. Coming up next hour, we're going to spend it with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. Can you say bye-bye, Rummy? I knew you could.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Studies show that when young children can manage their emotions, control their impulses, and resolve conflicts peacefully, they're more successful at school. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me on Sunday to learn more about the social and emotional development of young children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. A disturbing CBS News exclusive.
Al-Qaeda may be planning to attack air and rail travel in Europe during the busy holiday travel season.
Yet another presidential outreach to the Democrats who'll be running Congress. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Correspondent Sheila McVicker in London has the story. Intelligence agencies have been warned that transportation targets in Europe might be targeted by terrorists during the holidays.
The warnings come from interrogations of Al-Qaeda suspects who were recently ordered to leave Afghanistan and Pakistan. Arab and other intelligence sources tell CBS News that in the last 6 months, in the mountains and battlefields of Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda has withdrawn well-trained Arab fighters.
Those fighters, by the hundreds, have been returning to their home countries by way of Iran, Dubai, and the former Soviet republics. One group of young men, captured as they tried to re-enter their homeland, acknowledged that they were members of Al-Qaeda and told interrogators they'd been ordered to waste no time leaving Afghanistan, but did not know what they were supposed to do next. This is a new tape message from the leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick in Baghdad.
Abu Hamza al-Muhajir talks of the midterm elections in which he says Americans used reason. He also mentions the U.S. budget deficit and the cost of the war in Iraq. But he said the real cost will be in American lives. He said he has 12,000 troops at the ready and 10,000 more in training. And the second phase of jihad or holy war is beginning.
U.S. military reserves might shoulder an even greater burden as the war in Iraq drags on. The top National Guard commander says plans are in the works to send entire National Guard combat brigades back to Iraq for second tours of duty. Now this.
My cough isn't just a cough. I've got a stuffy nose, too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
I have a cough, and I have to hit the road, so I take my Robitussin with me. Robitussin cough gels.
I've got the flu, fever, body aches. That's why Robitussin cough, cold, and flu is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
Will you be watching when LeBron shows us he's wearing his own number? When 8 and 24 add up to 100. Will you be watching when the Suns don't stop at 150? When Chris Paul breaks the ankles of convention? When Shaq reminds us fingers are for rings? Will you be watching when purple and gold become red and blue in L.A.?
Will you be watching when? The NBA on ESPN. Heat versus Nets, followed by Pistons versus Lakers. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN.
President Bush did some more political peacemaking today.
A day after playing host to the Democratic leaders of the House, Mr. Bush sat down to coffee with their counterparts in the Senate, again saying the bitter election campaign was over and he would strive for bipartisan cooperation.
There is a great opportunity for us to show the country that Republicans and Democrats are equally as patriotic and equally concerned about the future and that we can work together.
Soon-to-be Majority Leader Harry Reid echoed those sentiments, but later told reporters that Democrats will take a more aggressive approach to oversight of administration policies, which he said was non-existent in Congress under GOP control. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The starting gun of the 2008 presidential campaign was just fired. Republican officials say Senator John McCain intends to launch an exploratory committee, the first step toward a bid for the White House. Actor Jack Palance died today at his home in Montecito, California. He was 87. Palance was one of Hollywood's tough guys. Here he is in the 1953 Western classic, Shane.
I've heard about you. What have you heard, Shane?
I've heard that you're a low-down Yankee liar.
Late in his career, Palance played another kind of tough guy in the Billy Crystal comedy City Slickers.
Hi, Curly. Kill anyone today?
They ain't over yet.
Leonard Maltin is the movie critic for Entertainment Tonight.
If you're of a certain age, City Slickers is the thing you'll remember most. It was his most prominent and most rewarding role in the latter part of his career. But for a lot of years, he was one of the screen's leading villains.
When he accepted the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in City Slickers in 1992, Palance famously dropped to the stage and did one-arm push-ups to show how physically fit he was. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Oreck XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Oreck XL.
Mary Nelson has to mail out 200 letters and 16 packages with a mail pickup staring at her in 37 minutes. Panic? Not Mary. She just picked up some new Avery Easy Peel mailing labels. Look at her go. She prints the labels, grabs the edges, and peels them off in a flash. Zip, zip, zip. No picking, just peeling. And the new Avery Wizard software makes formatting her job even faster. It's free at Avery.com. New Avery Easy Peel mailing labels. Saves time, saves headaches, and saves the day.
R&B singer Gerald LaVert.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues at 6 minutes after the hour. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up next hour, Brad Friedman returns. It's time for our first forensic look at the process of Tuesday's midterm elections. But this hour, Scott Dick joins us. He served in our military, first in the Marines and then in the Army, and retired as a major. And I'd like to honor Scott and all the veterans. Today's the official Veterans Day holiday. That's Charlie Daniels, Still in Saigon. I want to dedicate that to Carl Jung and his colleagues in the north state of California, Ferndale area. And Scott Dick joins us this hour to talk about military and veterans issues. Scott, thanks for making time for us today.
Hey, Peter, I can say bye-bye, Rummy.
I knew you could. I just knew you could.
It's a great day to be an American, Peter, and a veterinarian.
I'm sure all of the sick animals will be happy to hear you say that. Well, first, I honor you as a veteran, and I think many of our listeners know that I did not serve. I was in the draft, number 4 in the Vietnam draft lottery. But things had wound down just due to my birth year, and I was not required to serve. But I'm grateful to all those who have put a uniform on and put their body in harm's way in an effort to protect me and other Americans, even if you were dispatched behind misguided policies or immoral wars. And I never have been critical of those who have served, only those who have sent them into battle for the wrong reasons. And Scott, it was a big surprise Wednesday morning to hear the president lead off his news conference with the announcement that he and Rumsfeld had agreed that it's time for a change at the Pentagon.
I was stunned. I saw a late breaking story or an early breaking story. I don't remember which because I stayed up late to listen to your broadcast, actually.
Yeah.
You could have knocked me over with a feather, and at the same time, I wasn't surprised at all. I imagine that President Bush, I'm speculating now, and his closest advisors, without Rumsfeld, because he admitted he didn't have a chance to talk to Donnie about it before beforehand, they had really put their heads together and said, done a couple of what-ifs. You know, what if we win big? No change, stay the course. What if we lose big? Then I think number one lightning rod for the administration is Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out now that he has rubbed a lot of people in the Republican branch as, you know, he's rubbed them the wrong way as well. So
yeah.
He's no hero to everybody.
Well, Scott, I slept in on Wednesday, and I was in the shower when you were kind enough to give me a call to be the first to give me the news of Rumsfeld being sacked. And I did a little dance. I was delighted, I think, as so many of us were. And then a little later in the day, Homer Simpson style, I hit my forehead with a dope. And I said, geez, I believed Bush. Last week he said Rumsfeld's going to be here till the end of the term. I believed it, Scott. What's wrong with me?
Sucker. Well, you and everybody else, and you know, the Army Times had come out on Monday. Well, the Gannett News Service has published those four papers. You know, they all carry basically the same reporting except with specifics to each service.
Mm-hmm.
Had come out in the editorial, and I was looking at the blogs, and they're running 6-1 supporting the Times for doing that. The ones that weren't supportive were vitriolic to the nth degree. I've been a soldier all my adult life, and I was surprised at the vehemence, the enmity that soldiers of all ranks expressed towards the Times. And, you know, but I have to say it was a majority of vets who said, I served in Korea, I served in World War II, and, you know, they all just basically pointed the finger and said it was an election year stump. Some of the guys had been to Iraq and Afghanistan. They used expressions I can't use, but you know the troops refer to Afghanistan as "ass crackistan."
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine the language. They said this SOB it's about 3 years too late.
Well, and Scott, what's fascinating is when you look at the language used to describe Rumsfeld, and then you look at the source of the chosen description. All right, across the board, left critics. Progressive, central Democrats, mild Republicans, disaffected neocons, retired generals, and even Richard Pearl. The word that always comes up is arrogant. And even in his moment of departure, Donald Rumsfeld couldn't find any humility, couldn't acknowledge any mistakes that he has made. And I guess he and Bush have that deeply in common. And he went on to kind of quote Churchill and act as though he is misunderstood, and it's only after the fog of the present tense and the clarity of history descends upon us that we will appreciate the brilliance of Rumsfeld and his president.
Yeah, Peter, I have a clip that displays that quite well, but before we play that, I just want to say that I have worked with arrogant peers and senior officers myself, and the men are separated from the boys by competence. So if you work, I've worked for plenty of guys that were arrogant, but they were also competent, and you end up working on Saturdays and Sundays because you want to support these guys. Sure, you get a butt chewing once in a while that you don't think you earned because the guy's arrogant, but by and large, if they're competent, people will work for them, they'll follow them, they take care of them. It's when the arrogance is not backed up by competence is when people start saying, why is this arrogant fool or this arrogant putz or this arrogant blowhard, why is he still in charge? And in this case, that's what people are saying. Why is this arrogant blowhard in charge?
Yeah. We got a couple of minutes if you want to lay out a clip now.
I do indeed. Let's play this. Here we go.
It's been quite a time. It recalls to mind the statement by Winston Churchill, something to the effect that I have benefited greatly from criticism, and at no time have I suffered a lack thereof.
before I go on, Pete, you notice how there's dead silence in the room. Everybody's thinking he's quoting Churchill, and it's a laugh line, and nobody laughed.
I thought I heard one cackle that sounded like Bush.
Right, because I think he was feeling sorry for him that nobody laughed. it was a complimentary golf chuckle.
I see.
The great respect that I have for your leadership, Mr. President, in this little understood, unfamiliar war, the first war of the 21st century, it is not well known. It was not well understood. It is complex for people to comprehend. And I know with certainty that over time, the contributions you've made will be recorded by history.
You know what I heard there, Scott? I heard Donald Rumsfeld say that I'm stupid.
Well, yeah, and the troops are stupid, and their parents and siblings and spouses are stupid, and we're stupid, and everybody's stupid, but with the exception of one person, Rumsfeld. He's not stupid.
Right.
Because he understands all that. Little understood, unfamiliar, not well known. Well, it's his job to explain it. He's part of the National Command Authority.
Well, and Scott, what is very clear here is that the election shows that finally a majority of the American people understand what a mess we have in Iraq, how badly they have effed this thing up. And for Rumsfeld to say that we don't understand, that it's little understood, it's unfamiliar, well, it's remarkable that the American people can be so easily distracted and get all revved up about irrelevant and unimportant things, but the truth really does filter through, even with a bad media, even with all the spin that the Republicans were able to generate in front of this election. The phony liquid bomber plot that has every airline passenger dropping their water bottles and unable to carry eye drops on the plane. I mean, people get it. They know that we have been hoodwinked and manipulated time and time again. And this statement is just so telling, and it shows truly that Woodward is right about one thing. The title of his book is an accurate depiction of this administration, State of Denial.
Exactly.
Well, let's go to a break, and then we'll return. We've got more Rumsfeld clips, and we're going to open up the phone lines if you'd like to talk with me and Scott Dick. We're going to discuss military and veterans issues this entire hour, and you're welcome to join the conversation, particularly if you have served. We welcome your contribution. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one choice for wealth building and real estate investment, we'll have companies that we think are going to be very hot in 2007. If you want to learn about investing in commercial properties, new real estate funds, and other exciting real estate markets, this is the show for you. For more information on how to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Or check us out on the web at rockrollinrealestate.com. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
And happy Friday, everybody. TGIF, let's give you the very latest. Well, things not too bad on this Friday. We're going to tell you about a little bit of a crash in the Elkhorn area, Paradise Road at San Miguel. We have at San Miguel Canyon, an accident blocking the roadway. Apparently, it's two dump trucks and a pickup truck involved. CHP racing to the scene there. An injury crash in Santa Cruz, southbound 1, just before Morrissey Boulevard. Three vehicles in the center divide, and paramedics and fire department on scene there, tending to a couple folks that are hurt there. Other than that, no other major stalls or accidents to tell you about, which is certainly some great news, and we're going to let you know this report is brought to you by the folks from Advil Cold and Sinus. Advil Cold and Sinus, with all the power of Advil plus a hard-working decongestant, powerful cold and sinus relief, now available at your pharmacy counter. I'm Mike, that's traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. As we continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues, a couple of callers on the line. You can join us too. 888-5 Peter B. For you, what was the most outrageous thing that you connect to Donald Rumsfeld in his 6 years on this tour at the Pentagon? 888-5 Peter B is our toll free number. 888-573-8372. And I'll be like the president here. I just asked a question and now I'll answer it. In a recent news conference, he did that. Nobody asked him the question he wanted, so he asked himself, and then he answered it, and then he did a follow-up. And for me, the most memorable, unforgettable thing about Rumsfeld, Scott, was his comment about the known knowns, the known unknowns, the unknown unknowns, and the unknown known known known. I mean, he covered all the possibilities there.
Peter, no speechwriter on this planet could have written that.
Yeah.
That had to come out right out of Rumsfeld's brain.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I just during the break sat down and threw up a quick matrix of levels of the conflict in Iraq and Rumsfeld, and I can't see anything as far as metrics are concerned that jumps out at me as a success. People keep saying the number of schools built. I saw things where they were saying, "Oh, the kids have never worn shoes before getting shoes." Yeah, that's a crock. Iraq is a pretty developed country. And due to sanctions, I mean, we sort of plunged them back 50 years. But they're educated. They watch TV. It's just as long as you keep Americans ignorant, and then we tell them we're winning in Iraq because we opened another school, then, you know, people are happy.
Well,
and now all the stuff is finally the chickens have come home to roost, if you will.
And, you know, they tried really hard to convince us that the media wasn't sharing the good news about Iraq. And the truth is, the media has not shared the worst news about Iraq, because there are far fewer reporters there now than there were 3 years ago. And it is so dangerous there to leave the green zone or leave the safety of your hotel in Baghdad that most of them rely on just the official reports of the occupation force to make the news.
Right. We're not seeing pictures of injured, wounded troops. We're not seeing pictures of the coffins coming back into Dover, Delaware. What we're getting is whatever the Department of Defense will give to us, which has been sanitized
and made sure that it supports not the troops, but the leadership of the Pentagon and the politicians.
Right. Let's take some calls. Leonard's on the line from Glendale, AZ. Hello, Leonard.
Hey, thanks for letting me talk, and good to hear your guest on the line there. I've ran my big mouth a few times on your show. I'm an Iraq veteran. I got back in February with a military police unit out of Arizona, and a darn good unit of good men and women. Thank God I was with them, because they knew what they were doing, believe it or not. But here's the thing.
And Leonard, just let me say, you call it running off your mouth. You made some intelligent remarks on the program. I welcome your calls, and I'm really grateful for your service. I thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank all the veterans out there. I like the going through this holiday, but it's kind of like, I don't know, sometimes it feels like it stresses me out more because, you know, like right now I'm wearing a bracelet for a 20-year-old buddy. I consider a brother in my squad, you know, and I know he'll never come back. Another fellow with three children, he'll never come back. But we need to remember so that, you know, their sacrifice and hopefully also the mistakes that get soldiers killed that shouldn't have died. In war, you'll have death, but there's no need to get soldiers killed negligently at the minimum, which is what happened. But my main message I called in to say is I understand the Democrats be careful because we don't want to look like a vengeful party, but you know the Republicans are gonna utilize this at every turn to make us look like we're still appeasers, and I think the people have given us a mandate. I strongly believe they have. They want us to get to the bottom of this, and I have confidence in the Democrats we've elected that they're going to investigate this, and they're going to expose it. But if we try to just go along and say, well, we're going to forget everything that happened, the American people are expecting us to do that, or they're going to think we're just like the Republicans. Now we have to show them we are not exactly the same. We believe in the freedom of government and having a check and balance system. We're going to investigate, find out where the money was stolen, and like my friends that have died over there, why, for example, my two friends died because they didn't have a proper piece of equipment on their Humvee, sent out on the same road 10 days apart. Why did that happen? People are going to expect that. If they see the Democrats just, you know, kind of lukewarm kind of protesting, you know, what's going on, we're going to look no different than them. They've given us a mandate, and we need to do what's right. And, of course, not look vengeful, but you know what? Once we start exposing this, it will become self-evident to people. The Republicans don't
fool
at all.
Leonard, I agree that we don't want to be seen as vengeful or trying to get even in most respects. But at the same time, we cannot unilaterally disarm. And the Republicans are not going to stop fighting. So
exactly.
The Democrats have to be judicious about this whole bipartisan civility approach. And as long as it is responded to in kind, I'm okay with it. But as soon as the Republicans take the gloves off, the Democrats got to get down there and fight as well. And this is where I'm concerned that our electorate is going to now relax and go on vacation and say, let the professionals take care of it. But the right wing doesn't do that. They suit up and they fight every day.
Exactly, and they're going to try to cover this up. They're going to be nice to Pelosi. Hey, let's forget it. It reminds me of Pappy Boynton in his book when he came back after being a POW. In the last days after Japan surrendered to America, their Japanese captors tried to stuff them with vitamins, all kinds of food, to try to cover up their crimes. That's what they're trying to do right now, and the American people demand that we find this out. And if we don't do that, then they're not going to think much of us either. So
all right, let's get a comment from Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
I agree with Leonard completely. What we have to do is the Republicans that somehow, and we let them run roughshod over us, Peter, with Gore quitting in 2000 and Kerry quitting in 2004. We've made ourselves targets by appearing to be weak. And guys like Leonard, Hackett, those guys mm-hmm. have shown that Democrats can be tough on security. We have cops on the street that aren't weak. They arrest suspects. They shoot them if they have to. We have people who are doing hard, dirty jobs, and that's not the impression the American people have of Democrats. So if we have to kick a little Republican butt to get some respect in the United States, then by golly, I think we should kick it.
And can I leave one with one just last thing?
20 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. When I was there, I didn't see one soccer field being planted. All I saw being planted, my buddies, were bombs being planted. Side of the roads that they killed us with. There was no grass being planted and all this garbage you hear. Millions is being lost to these people, being embezzled. Thanks a lot.
Leonard, thank you.
Thanks, Leonard.
More coming up right after a break here. If you want to talk with me and Scott Dick, grab a line, toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. Can you say bye-bye, Rummy? I knew you could.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunedaRealEstate.com.
The danger is not the sex. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network, sponsored by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand. With the election over, I expect we won't be hearing quite so much terrorist talk. But alas, a new scourge has emerged to haunt the land, something insidious and apparently protected by our Constitution, Borat.
Look, there is a woman in a car. Can we follow her and maybe make a sexy time?
Some are asking the question, should parents allow their children to see the Borat movie, considering the obscenity and the sexual references, including the nude wrestling scene in which Borat wrestles naked with a man fat enough to create his own gravitational field, an image which has given me nightmares for at least a week now. My friends, what's dangerous about this movie is not the sex. It's stuff like the scene where Borat takes the microphone of the Virginia Rodeo, endorses the war on terror to rapturous cheers, then declares his hope that Premier George W. Bush will drink the blood of every man, woman, and child in Iraq to somewhat more scattered cheers, and finally sings a fraudulent version of the Kazakh national anthem proclaiming the superiority of Kazakh prostitutes to the tune of the Star-Spangled Banner. The cowgirl carrying the flag falls off her horse on camera. Audiences are unable to restrain their laughter, even though they know it's wrong. And there's your threat. The success of this film is going to unleash so many sleeper cells of pranksters that Congress will have to put the whole country on a 6-second delay. As for the nude wrestling scene, if there's any effect on children, it'll be to make your young boys celibate, which could be good or bad depending on your plans for your son.
Hi, Jeff Daniels here. You may have heard me tell you some of the great things that the state has done through the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, like Michigan's $2 billion 21st Century Jobs Fund. This is the biggest financial commitment to support the new 21st century economy, and the first round of awardees has been selected. Hundreds applied, and those selected will use the money to establish and grow their business in Michigan. Visit Michigan.org to learn about the Jobs Fund, the awardees, and how to get your business into the next round. Because wherever in the world you compete, Michigan can give you the upper hand.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works. 12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addiction. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes, cures, genetics, or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Italica Fine Leather Purses and Accessories on Alvarado Street, next to Supercuts in Monterey. Italica. Listen Saturdays at 4 with Sheila Gale. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show on a Friday. We're celebrating the Democratic victory this week, taking back the House and the Senate. And the icing on the cake was Bush's recognition that Rumsfeld had to go. And he even acknowledged in his news conference in response to questions, "Yeah, I lied to you a week ago. I told you Rummy was going to stay on." And then he rationalized the lie, saying, "Oh, well, you know, you can't have this kind of stuff out there at the end of a contested election like this." Yeah. it might cause democracy to break out right here in America, and it might cause more Americans to defect from this radical Republican administration. We continue our visit with Scott Dick. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. We're going to take more of your calls in a moment at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. But Scott, I know you got a stack of your favorite Rumsfeld sound bites there. And why don't you set up another one or two right now?
Oh, boy, I didn't have those planned. We can get into those if you want in a second. I have a couple of those.
Uh-huh.
But I was just going to say that maybe Peter, he was, when he said he was the little understood, unfamiliar, not well known, complex for people to understand, he was talking about himself.
Oh.
You know, while I'm doing this little sound check here,
mm-hmm.
You know, General Sanchez, are you familiar with Sanchez?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He retired on November 1st.
Right.
And he claimed that he was forced to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Peter, he should just shut his mouth, because he's lucky to retire as a three-star. What happens is, if your retirement's not approved by the Senate or by the administration, I think it is, I think it's the Secretary of the Army or the Secretary of Defense, you have to revert back to two-star. In other words, those three-star and four-star jobs are nominative.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you get a two-star, you take a three-star job. If they don't have a four-star job for you, you can either stay three-star at another three-star job, go back to two-star, or retire. And then it's optional whether you stay as a three-star. They let him, they probably bought his silence about Abu Ghraib by letting him retire as a three-star, but he hit the media saying he was forced to retire.
Well, and he wasn't the first.
No, well, he got away with it scot-free, and he said, they even said, the investigation said it didn't do anything criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I can't go on to be a four-star. Four-star what? Who's going to trust him with anything?
Well, and what I would like is to hear the truth from General Sanchez, and hopefully with Rumsfeld gone, he might find it in his heart to tell us. But I firmly believe that Jeffrey Miller, the general who was sent over from Guantanamo to Gitmoize Abu Ghraib, and the three stars in the theater, were following orders. And I believe those orders came from Donald Rumsfeld.
Now, it's funny you should say that, Peter. That's a nice setup to this MSNBC report written by Bill Dedman. And he had a chance to outline the whole process of interrogations at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib. And what's interesting, and I didn't realize this, I probably should have picked up on it right away, is there were actually two things going on there. There was a group of military intelligence people working on the captives,
mm-hmm.
and there was a group of professional law enforcement agents.
Well, they were from CACI, C-A-C-I, and Blackwater. And there were interrogators who were at Abu Ghraib. There's a new film out that talks about the contractors in Iraq, and it came from Robert Greenwald. I'm struggling to think of the name of it. But it's really powerful because it starts off with the death of the three or four Blackwater agents near Fallujah, the ones who were hung up on a bridge after they were killed.
Right.
And goes on to tell the story that from the point of view of Iraqis who were subject to the interrogations, that much of what went on there in that cell block was not just Lindy England and Charlie Grainer. There were plainclothes people who were there, and, the implication is that it was these contractors. That's the thrust of the documentary.
Well, Peter, this one is what it's showing is that these law enforcement professionals who had investigated the cold, they had pretty good success dealing with these detainees, and that they were led by a colonel, and they were from every investigative service, and they had experience, and the military interrogators had just recently come from school at Fort Huachuca, and that wherever the finishing school is out in the east someplace. And so they had this huge conflict where finally the law enforcement people, the FBI, the Secret Service, and criminal investigators from the Army, Navy, and Air Force refused to even sit in the interrogations with the military intelligence people.
Mm-hmm.
And this Colonel Britton P. Mallow, he said, number one, it's not going to work. He was the task force commander from 2002 to 2005. Number two, if it does work, it's not reliable. Number three, it may not be legal, ethical, or moral. Number four, it's going to hurt you when you have to prosecute these guys. Number five, sooner or later, all this stuff is going to come to light, and you're going to be embarrassed. This was in 2002.
Well, and we should just add one more item to the list, and that is that if we operate in a barbaric way, our troops and agents will be treated in a barbaric way when they're captured.
And they actually went back to the Council General of the Navy and put all this in writing, and they're going to take it to Rumsfeld and say, look what's happening at Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
And they were told, okay, he's changing the techniques. You don't have to do this. And so they backed off. Well, what happened is Rumsfeld secretly approved the new, I'm putting quotations about that remark, interrogation techniques for Abu Ghraib and Gitmo.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys, a guy named Mark Fallon, who looks like he's one of these heroes in this whole mess, they said he's a Navy guy. They said they would resign from the Navy before they participated in any more of these interrogations. And they started making progress with one who was supposed to be this important figure, where they actually, it was funny, they got him French fries because he fell addicted to the McDonald's fries on base. And so they told him a lot of stuff. And they pass it on to the military interrogators, the intelligence guys, and what do? After all that, they woke him up in the middle of the night and had him stand up for 4 hours and repeat it all back to him again. So they lost him basically as a source.
Wow.
So it's an excellent article. It's MSNBC, and the guy's name is Dedman.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go to the phone. Jimmy's on the line from Monterey. Hello, Jimmy. You're on with Peter B. and Scott Dick.
Yeah, hi. How's it going?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I'm a Gulf War veteran. And I'm disabled from it as well. And, you know, I served over there with the 10th Special Forces Group.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say one thing. Well, the first thing I want to say is tomorrow, if anybody out there sees somebody on the side of the road that's homeless, ask him if he's a veteran and try to help him out, you know, because all these guys... 90% of them that are homeless, it's because of what their experiences were that happened to them in the war.
You're right, Jimmy.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's why they're out there homeless on the streets. You know, I've done a lot of work with the American Legion, which I'm no part of anymore because of their support for the Republican administration. I'm not a part of the Veterans of Foreign Wars anymore. I quit my membership with them because they're right wing as well. And I just had to get away from all these people because as soon as you start talking about anything that was against the administration, these guys in those two organizations would just shut you down and tell you to shut up, you know, because they're just all right-wingers in there.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to really get to was the whole reason why we went into Iraq was, number one, because Saddam Hussein tried to kill Bush's father. Number two, the thing was that all the business interests, especially Dick Cheney's, you know, big deal with
Halliburton.
Halliburton.
Right. And by the way, the movie I was trying to remember is called Iraq for Sale. It's about KBR and all the other contractors in Iraq.
I've just seen the interview with the guy who produced that movie. But the whole thing is we had the northern and southern fly zones controlled ever since 1990.
Right.
We knew if there was going to be any missiles or anything coming out of that country. But what do? We you know, wasted all these, you know, lives of these soldiers, sailors, airmen, and everything in this war. And you know, these guys were just arrogant up until last week on Monday night. Now all of a sudden you see George Bush saying, oh, Democrats are, you know, patriots too. They're great people. You listen to them all up until that time. If you were a Democrat, you weren't a patriot, you were with the terrorists, and all this other stuff, and
well,
it made me sick.
And just look what they tried to do a week out, this phony attack on John Kerry, who, you know, I have trouble with mangled and bungled. He bangled a joke.
and how many times
and wait.
Has Jimmy,
Bush bungled the joke? The joke was about Bush. He was saying that Bush did not study, did not pay attention, and that's how we got mired in Iraq. And it was contorted and twisted and you know, turned into an assault on the troops. He never meant that in any way, shape, or form. And that shows how desperate, but how often effective, these Republican messages can be.
Let me jump in there for a second, Peter.
Yeah.
What's interesting is I've just had a hoot in the last 48 hours watching right-wing television, Bill O'Reilly and a couple of his cronies on Fox. And this is like I'm inside some kind of surrealistic Alice in Wonderland clothes dryer. I just keep getting spun and spun and spun. And it's incredible to listen to these guys. There was a guy on last night saying that Gates is going to be soft on the terrorists and that he's going to just go and toe the line with the Democrats and we're going to lose this war because we're not. You know, I don't know what inhalant these guys are sniffing. It's incredible, given everything else that's failed in Iraq, that they're just trying to set themselves up so that they can say, I told you so.
Now, I haven't been by the Fox News Channel for a couple of days. Do they have, like, crepe hanging and kind of funereal music? Are they in mourning officially?
No. Like, Britt Hume, he was amazing to listen to. And anybody on any of these panels being chaired by the three Yehus that I've seen so far, O'Leary, Hume, and another guy, Caputo, I think is his name, or Cavuto, something like that.
Yeah, Cavuto.
Cavuto. Every time they start to say it's about anything but the war in Iraq, that conservatism is under attack, or perhaps American people are moving more towards the center, they go crazy. The war in Iraq is not lost. If it's going to be lost, it's going to be lost by the Democrats. I mean, they already have their own sort of talking points. Limbaugh came out and said he's going to stop lying for the Republican Party. I find that extremely hard to believe.
Yeah, he's free at last.
He's free at last.
Oh, you know, and also, I just want to jump in here. Look
Go
at
ahead.
What Tom DeLay said. I don't know why it was CBS or NBC that interviewed him, why they would even interview that guy, the criminal he is. And he sits there and says, oh, the Republicans didn't lose, the Democrats won. What is that?
Well,
I mean, can you believe that?
Now, wait a minute.
Guys, like you're saying, these guys are not living in reality in this country.
Now, Jimmy, did you get DeLay backwards there? Wouldn't he more likely said that the Democrats didn't win, the Republicans lost?
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Okay, that's... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of like what he said. I'm sorry. But
no, I understand.
You know, it got me so fuming that they would even allow this guy to be on national television to be interviewed after the disgrace that he caused.
Hey, Jimmy, you want to turn some of that anger into action? Write a letter to Sam Farr, Patty Martin.
Oh, well, Sam Farr doesn't care about veterans.
Well, that's why he...
I've tried so many times to get that guy to speak to me when I was in the American...
Go ahead, Scott.
Patty Murray from Washington, he's a member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. She's going to be beaten up on the administration because the VA planned to take care of about 110,000 veterans because of Iraq and Afghanistan. Now they're already treating 185,000.
Yeah,
so they they didn't have a plan, and they've already had to go back to Congress for $3 billion. They're going to need more money. So we just need to make sure that our legislators are on board with taking money from someplace else to give it to the vets that are coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan. There's no excuse for, you know, the bridge to nowhere when we could take care of better care of our veterans.
I would propose a windfall tax on oil profits to help pay for the veterans' benefits that are currently underfunded. Jimmy, thank you for your call today. I appreciate having you listening, and I thank you for your service to these United States. We're going to take a break here on Veterans Day and return in just a moment. If you'd like to talk with me and Scott Dick, call us now. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, here at the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention, whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
And happy Friday, everybody. Let's give you the latest as you folks make your way home tonight. While we're going to get a little bit of activity going on, let's start off in Elkhorn, Paradise Road at San Miguel. We do have a situation working there. It is a crash with a, look like two dump trucks and a pickup truck involved in this accident. CHP is on scene. Santa Cruz southbound 1 before Morrissey, a crash has been cleared there. Traffic, however, is slow approaching the scene. Gilroy, Highway 25 at 101, we have a grass fire. It's on the right shoulder. Fire department is en route. In Rio Del Mar, southbound 1 at Freedom Boulevard, a fender bender reported there. It's on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved. And this report brought to you by the California Democratic Party. Arnold Schwarzenegger says all Californians should have good jobs, but he tried to slash pensions, eliminate overnight time pay, and your right to lunch break. Democrats say this governor needs a word.
Still running this. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Veterans Day 2006.
Absolutely.
How many veterans are sad at the news that Donald Rumsfeld has vacated his office at the Pentagon?
Absolutely. Say it again.
We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. More calls coming in here. Frank in Marina. Hello, Frank. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How you doing? Scott,
I
salute you on Veterans Day and all other veterans around the country and around the world. And all armies, navies, and air forces. Anyway, I don't think there's too many people that are unhappy about Rummy's whatever it was.
Yeah.
Departure.
He was sacked.
Yeah.
It's very clear.
He's leaving to spend more time with his family, Peter. What are you talking about?
Well, no, he's got that new vacation home on Chesapeake Bay right down the road from Dick Cheney's new vacation home, and they have their own personal no-fly zone there.
I saw a cartoon of Rummy just a few minutes ago. He had a baseball cap. I couldn't read what the top said, but he had a cardboard sign saying, "We'll kill your women and children for food."
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, here's what I want to say real quick.
Yeah.
I was disappointed, and tell me if I missed something, between Pelosi and Reid, the way they framed the Iraq situation. You know, they're looking for a different situation or a different way to solve the Iraq problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know me, Peter, I want them home as quick as possible.
Yeah.
And lesson in history. In 1968, they knew, Nixon, Kissinger, McNamara, all the rest of them, Congress, that the Vietnam conflict was unwinnable.
Yep.
At that time, we had 38,000 dead, 20,000 more were killed, plus God knows how many Vietnamese.
Yep.
Until it ended. It ended, they threw us out, the world in collapse. They're over there trying to get them into the World Trade Organization now. 16 months ago, retired Special Forces Master Sergeant Stan Gott. Did you get the book I sent you?
You know what? It's in my post office box, Frank, and the problem is I only go there on the weekend when it isn't open. I got to make a trip there during the week so they'll give it to me.
Okay.
But thanks for sending it, yeah.
Yeah, and I sent you a few emails. Anyway, he's been in six conflicts and everything, retired Master Sergeant, Special Forces, right? Anyway, 16 months ago he said, a case in point, any commander that can't get everybody out of Iraq within 30 days should be relieved and put another general in charge. And Scott, you know, you were in the military. I was a staff sergeant for a long time. It can be done. He said, how many more people are we going to lose? And our former And a friend of mine and a guy I respect tremendously, Tom Hayden, wrote back and said, you know, we got to have a plan. You know, maybe it takes another year. And they went back and forth with exchanges. And look how many more people we lost on our side. And I, you know what? I feel just as bad for the Iraqi people.
Mm-hmm.
Peter, let me jump in here for a second, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
I have seen troops redeploy. And when you say redeploy,
yes,
it's just get out of the way. They'll take care of the logistics. They'll take care of the maintenance. They'll take care of each other. They'll take care of the stores. They'll take care of security. Just tell them, just all you have to do as an officer is get out of the way. If you told a couple of staff sergeants and put them in charge of the redeployment, they'd have everybody making joke now. But they'd have them out of there in 2 weeks.
No, you're right. You're right.
And they'd all get back in one piece with a few, except, you know, the rear guard. It wouldn't want to be part of that because it could be like Somalia where the Iraqis steal everything that's not tied down.
Yeah. No, I know.
But it's... It depends on how much this is moving into a face-saving operation.
Yep.
We know when the politicians want to save face, how many more troops are going to die because of that. They won't have the guts to say, you know what, we were wrong. Circle the wagons. Let's get the heck out of here. Mr. and Ms. Iraq, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
They won't do that.
Yeah.
And it's not because
they're sovereign people. But one more thing, and I got to go.
Yeah.
The Christmas Truce. I just got the film I sent away on the History Channel in 1914. You fellas know about it?
I don't.
Oh,
no.
Oh, great. Look on it. Go to the Christmas Truce 1914 and search on the Internet.
Okay.
And there's plenty of... I just sat away from the History Channel. I saw part of it about 6 or 7 months ago. And 5 months after the... World War One started, in August of 14?
Mm-hmm.
Right around Christmas or Christmas Eve, some German troops got out of the trenches and were walking around freezing, singing Christmas carols. So the British troops got out of their trenches hearing them, and they started singing the Christmas carols. They went in there, they both put up white flags, and then some Belgian and French soldiers joined them, and you know what? They were exchanging food and cigarettes and everything else. Mm. And, of course, the officers on both sides didn't like that.
Yeah.
And they relieved them, you know. And consequently, four million people died on that same ground within the next 4 years. But
yeah,
if they could do it, and we used to have ceasefires, during Christmas time,
mm-hmm,
in the service. You know what? Have a permanent ceasefire.
All right, Frank. Thank you for your calling, and I honor you on Veterans Day. Thank you, sir.
Peter, I do have a couple of celebratory quotes, if you don't mind.
Okay, let me get a quick comment from Mark in Eureka, because I already punched up his line. Hi, Mark.
Hi. How you doing, Peter?
Good.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Mark. I just wanted to say also, that I'm thinking about all those troops that are still over there in Iraq and in Afghanistan and all those places where they really shouldn't need to be at this point, and hope they make it home safely.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of tie together a couple of things that some of your earlier callers said. Also, I agree 100% with what Leonard was saying about really the politicians who have gained their opportunity to make some changes in government now. Really, it's an incumbent upon them to really do the will of the people. I think they really do have a mandate to find out the truth, about how we got into the mess that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what we need to do is follow the money.
I agree, and I believe if we fight for the truth and, as you say, follow the money, we're going to find the culprits, and I think we need to do that in a very methodical and thorough way. Mark, I wish I had more time, but thank you for your call today. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, this is one of my favorite, and I think I was shocked he didn't go after this one.
Why do we soldiers have to dig through local landfills for pieces of scrap metal and compromised ballistic glass to up armor our vehicle? And why don't we have those resources readily available to us? As you know, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you might want or wish to have at a later time.
No, but we need to focus.
That's going to go down in history as... one of the great military commander remarks.
And then another one that I was going to play, but it's getting kind of late when he was caught lying. I just want to say, Peter, I think you and I are going to disagree on this. I think that the Democrats ought to let the Republicans have Gates be Secretary of Defense. Here's another guy who's not as big a nutcase, but it's going to show mainstream America this guy's supposed to be a bridge builder, all that, blah, blah. We let
Bush have his own men. They can't complain that we cut him off at the knees.
Mm-hmm.
Let him go for it, and let him screw it, continue to screw it up, and hopefully we won't have, you know, more casualties, but I don't see a way around it.
I got to stop there. Thank you, Scott Dick.
Thanks, Peter.
I'm Peter B. Collins.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Al-Qaeda is up to something. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker reports hundreds of well-trained Arab fighters have been withdrawn from Afghanistan and Pakistan, returning to their home countries to await further instructions.
A senior Arab diplomat speaking to CBS News on condition that neither he nor his country be identified said that a group of young men detained several weeks ago when they tried to re-enter their home country acknowledged membership in Al-Qaeda. They told interrogators that they were ordered to, quote, not waste time in departing Afghanistan. According to the diplomat, they also said they did not know why they were being told to go.
CBS News has learned that intelligence agencies have been warned of a possible plot to attack air and rail travel in Europe during the busy holiday season. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick has the latest from Baghdad.
Two soldiers died in a roadside bomb in West Baghdad, one soldier and a Marine in Anbar province. That brings to 25 the number of troops killed this month. The Iraqi health minister, meanwhile, estimates 150,000 Iraqis have died in the war. And in a new audio tape, the head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq says he has 12,000 fighters, 10,000 more in training. And he taunts President Bush to stay on the battlefield.
Fasten your seatbelts for Campaign 08. Reportedly, Arizona Senator John McCain will take the first step toward a presidential bid next week by forming an exploratory committee. Political analyst Stuart Rothenberg is a bit surprised.
A candidate like McCain, it strikes me, could have waited a while longer, just as Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton can wait longer because they're known commodities. But certainly these longer shot candidates have to start early. Apparently, Senator McCain decided that he too needed to signal his intention.
There were more pledges of bipartisan cooperation today when President Bush hosted Senate Majority Leader-to-be Harry Reid at the White House. CBS News political director Dottie Lynch is skeptical.
The photo ops in the past few days are clearly for show. Both sides want to say that they're going to achieve things and work in a bipartisan way. When we get into the next Congress, we'll see how far they take that.
Toward the end of his career, Jack Palance took a comic turn. He won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for his tough cowboy role in City Slickers. Jack Palance died today at his California home. He was 87. He was a big athletic actor who often played tough guys. He made his mark in 1952 when he played an obsessed lover stalking Joan Crawford.
We'll have a second honeymoon. No servants, no visitors, just the two of us.
Sounds wonderful.
It'll be wonderful. I'll start to pack right away.
On Wall Street, some small gains. The Dow Industrial's up 5 points to 12,108. The Nasdaq gained 13 points, closing at 23.89, and the price of oil fell more than $1.50 a barrel to $59.59. This is CBS News.
Peace of mind. We all want it, but where do you find it? And when you do find it, how long does it last? At New York Life, peace of mind starts with a promise and lasts a lifetime. The promise to pay a claim when you need it, even if that day is 30 or 40 years from now. It's why New York Life is built on the unshakable values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. In the end, peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Apparently, everyone in Union County, North Carolina, just thought Sam Duncan ran a low-key campaign. They didn't know how low-key until after the election. CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula has the story.
The local elections director says it's not her job. No one let Monroe, North Carolina voters know that a county board candidate who appeared in newspaper ads the weekend before the election died a month ago. Sam Duncan got the most votes in Tuesday's election. Democratic Party leaders say they didn't know Duncan was dead when they ran the ads. His seat will be filled by appointment. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Fans of Guns N' Roses were disappointed when a concert in Portland, Maine was abruptly canceled this week. Band leader Axl Rose blames particularly draconian authorities who issued a no-drinking order after learning about plans to quaff beer, wine, and Jägermeister on stage. A spokesman for Guns N' Roses says they made it impossible for the band to perform their show to the usual high standards that their fans deserve. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
My cough isn't just a cough. I've got a stuffy nose, too. That's why Robitussin CF is my Robitussin.
I have a cough, and I have to hit the road, so I take my Robitussin with me. Robitussin cough gels.
I've got the flu, fever, body aches. That's why Robitussin cough, cold, and flu is my Robitussin.
Robitussin has formulas for coughs, for colds, for congestion, and for flu. So no matter what you've got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. Use as directed.
Will you be watching when LeBron shows us he's wearing his own number? When 8 and 24 add up to 100? Will you be watching when the Suns don't stop at 150? When Chris Paul breaks the ankles of convention? When Shaq reminds us fingers are for rings? Will you be watching when purple and gold become red and blue in L.A.?
Will you be watching when? The NBA on ESPN. Heat versus Nets, followed by Pistons versus Lakers. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues 6 minutes after five on the left coast. I'm not supposed to tell you what hour it was, and I just blew it. I'm Peter B. Collins.
I was walking a ribbon of highway. I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled.
The American Republic held a midterm election on Tuesday, and we know the outcomes. We know the Democrats took control of the House and narrowly took control of the Senate. But based on the way the election was conducted and the manner in which so many glitches and voter suppression tactics and other means occurred that limited the right of people to exercise their vote, it's hard to say that this land is really your land. More appropriately, it belongs to the corporations, including one called Diebold. Brad Friedman joins us once again here for our weekly visit. And this one, it's time to take a look at the early forensics of the way the election was conducted this past Tuesday. Brad, of course, is the proprietor of bradblog.com, described by the New York Times as a left-leaning blog that covers election issues. Brad, welcome back to our show today.
How are you, my friend?
I'm getting better, getting a little more sleep every night, and kind of getting used to what we think happened.
Yeah, what we think happened. Yes, it's made taking a little bit of the pressure off, as we were all worried about what could have happened on Tuesday. Although I might argue that what we feared could have happened in many ways actually did happen, as we had absolute messes all over the country all day long on Tuesday, and certainly even now we've got some 10 races that are House races that are still undecided for various reasons. We dodged a few bullets in some of those Senate races, and we can go through some of those. But, you know, I I have concerns. I don't want people to think, oh, geez, everything's fine now. Look, Democrats won, because it ain't fine, not by a long shot.
Well, and a number of candidates failed to take our advice, Brad, including some key Republicans, one named Conrad Burns and another named George Allen.
That's right.
Our advice was, don't concede until every vote is counted.
That's right.
And while I wanted to see, in the worst way, Burns and Allen depart from the political scene, I also want results that are credible and a process that we can believe in. And I would be willing to wait even another week or two for the Virginia or Montana Senate races to be determined, pending a thorough and complete count of every vote cast.
You know, I would too, but I got distracted when you said Burns and Allen, and I thought of George and Gracie.
Well, maybe they're going to become a cable TV act. We'll see them on Fox very soon.
Well, they're both looking for jobs, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the Burns and Allen show, bring it back. Sounds good to me.
That's where the neocons go to. Well, they don't quite die. They just kind of fade away and flap on.
Well, I would tell you, yeah, I agree. They should not have conceded. And neither, by the way, should have Rick Santorum down in Pennsylvania. Those, his race, I don't know, what did it end up? Something like a 20-point difference in the reported results. But again, we reported that during our election night meltdown of Palooza Marathon, that Santorum and the Republican Party had sent a letter to the Secretary of the Commonwealth out there in Pennsylvania. You know, mm-hmm. they're not a state. They're
That's
a Commonwealth.
Right. Yeah.
And asking that machines, the voting machines, in 27 different counties be impounded after they received reports of votes flipping from Republicans to Democrats. Now, I haven't been able to confirm those reports myself, but I have. We were able, obviously, to confirm the letter that they sent to the Secretary asking for these machines to be impounded. And guess what? I applaud that effort. I wish that Democrats had done exactly that in every instance when they had reports of votes flipping from Democrat to Republican, and perhaps we wouldn't have these damn machines at all at this point.
Well, and your hope was that they really would impound those machines and do a thorough examination of them, and that that would lead to a repudiation of their credibility, and hopefully we can scrap all the electronic voting machines. That's your ulterior goal, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's exactly right. Look, I believe every vote should be counted, no matter whose votes they are, even if they are, folks like the insidious democracy hater Bruce McPherson, the outgoing Secretary of State of California. He still has the right to have his votes counted. More importantly, the voters have the right to have their votes counted accurately and properly. So, you know, I'm going to support any candidate who, you know, says, look, this, what kind of world have we gotten into where, you know, these elections are essentially run for the media so they could, you know, I saw an ad on MSNBC the other day, saying that, we were the first to call the House race for the Democrats. What does that mean? You know, 3 minutes later, CNN did it as well. Who cares? You know, I think all of America has gotten to the point where we would rather have our elections accurate and, you know, called correctly than called early. And, you know, now we're seeing various problems cropping up all over the place down in San Diego once again.
Wait a minute. Is this Groundhog Day?
Yeah, it really is. It's deja vu all over again.
And we're going to have to deal with your good friend Michael Haas and... Oh, gosh. Well, let's delve into that. We got about 3 minutes till the first break here, Brad. What is the latest on Francine Busby and Brian Bilbray? This is the contest for the two-year term. The disputed election, the special in June, was simply to fill out this year the final portion of Duke Cunningham's term. And for whatever reasons, Bilbray got it sworn in before the results were certified. And despite the challenge that you and others led to that special election. So where are we in terms of the published count? And I know from your reporting that in San Diego County, Michael Haas was not planning to even start counting the absentees until yesterday.
Well, that's right. And it is deja vu all over again. VelvetRevolution.us and Paul Leto, the election attorney down there who brought the case some months ago over the summer election, funded an election, an exit poll from Zogby to keep an eye on that election down there. You know, my good friend Michael Haas sent all of those voting machines home for 3 weeks prior to the election, Diebold touchscreen machines, on sleepovers once again. And we thought it was a good idea to keep an eye on that race. And, in fact, as the results are coming in now, reported by San Diego, there's a 10-point difference between Busby and Bill Bray. However, the Zogby exit polls show that it should only be a 4-point difference based on the polling that we have, which actually puts the thing into the margin of error. And, in fact, what we have found is that Democrats down there were far and away more likely to cast their votes on paper ballots if they were actually allowed to do so, if they were given, you know, the paper ballots down there.
Mm-hmm. And Haas was playing hide-and-seek with the paper ballots, right?
Oh, that's right. Wasn't telling anybody about them and encouraging poll workers to not tell people that they had the right to vote on paper. And, in fact, in many cases, I understand they ran out of paper ballots. To make matters even worse, when the Francine Busby herself went in there, she chose to vote on a paper ballot, and they tried to give her a provisional ballot instead of a regular normal paper ballot. Now, the Secretary of State said that those paper ballots are to be counted as normal ballots on election night, not provisional ballots, which, as you know, are vetted, and many of them are thrown out for various reasons if they're ever counted at all. Those paper ballots then should have been counted on election night as normal ballots, as McPherson had ordered, but Haas defied that law and that ruling, and in fact the votes were not they didn't even begin to count them until Thursday. So Paul Leto expects to see that race tightening. It's just under 10% difference now. He expects to see a tightening as those paper ballots are finally counted, presuming they actually are. And so we'll see. But once again, you know, we've got inaccuracies and, frankly, no reason whatsoever to have confidence in any single reported race, the election results for any race across the entire People's Republic of San Diego.
Now, I'm afraid of the answer, but I got to ask this question.
Yeah.
Has Francine Busby conceded?
You'll be happy to know that she has announced she will not be conceding this time around until every vote is counted.
Say hallelujah, Francine! I'll give her a big hug for that next time I see her. Brad, you stand by. We'll continue in just a moment. If you'd like to talk with Brad Friedman, he's on this entire hour. We'd love to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. You got information about sleepovers of voting machines? Bring it on. Here's the guy who needs to know about it. 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of galoosh, yeah. open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's give you the latest as you folks make your way home this evening. And CHP telling us that we do have a problem located in Santa Cruz. Southbound 1 before Morrissey crash has been cleared, but still slow approaching the area. Grass Fire in Gilroy. Looks like this would be Highway 25 at 101. And Fire Department is, in fact, on scene. Getting word of a problem in Rio Del Mar, southbound 1 at Freedom Boulevard, a crash in the right shoulder, two vehicles. Aromas Canyon Road at 101, disabled vehicle, one of the vehicles blocking to tow truck en route. And quickly in Elkhorn, Paradise Road at San Miguel, two dump trucks and a pickup truck involved in the crash. Lanes still may be blocked there. This report brought to you by Robitussin. Robitussin with the formulas for coughs, colds, and congestion, and flu. No matter what you got, there's Robitussin Relief with your name on it. I'm Mike. That's traffic on KRXA AM 540.
This is how we do it. Yeah, there's a little yellow button on the back, and this is how we do it. You just press that, and then you can vote as many times as you want. Isn't that neat? Isn't electronic voting groovy, huh? I'm Peter B. Collins, along with my pal, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And we'll go to the phones in just a minute if you'd like to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B. Brad, first up, I wanted to check the reporting of the major media organs, because I saw a story from the Washington Post today saying how great the election was and how there are really relatively few glitches and nobody's got anything to worry about.
Yeah, that's been the unfortunate coverage. I suppose we could have expected that. Now, if you look a little bit deeper, if you look at the local coverage all over the country, you will see enormous problems. Of course, we point that out at bradblog.com, and we run John Gideon's daily voting news every day, which lists just scores and scores of meltdowns around the country. So I wrote an article that was published today at Computer World about exactly that and the fact that we had a mess. We had a meltdown of an election on Tuesday, and the fact that the mainstream media is now running around saying, oh, some glitches, hiccups, snags, and snafus, but other than that, everything was just fine, is just remarkable to me. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, had it come down, and it did, in fact, you know, come down to the George Allen race in Virginia. Now, had Allen decided to contest that, had he decided not to concede and you know, called for a recount, there was just a few thousand votes between him and Webb, we would have had an all-out Florida 2000-style constitutional crisis on our hands. When it would be revealed to the American public that 80% of the machines in Virginia are touchscreen voting machines with not even a paper trail, much less a paper ballot. They're completely uncountable, and you know, you can't have a recount with those machines. You can have a reprint at best.
Mm-hmm.
I think this would have led to an endless national nightmare of you know, scientists doing forensic investigations on these machines to find out if they were accurate or not. Never mind, I suspect we would have found quite a bit of fraud that would have benefited Webb, not Allen. But never mind that. You know, had it been, had Allen chosen to contest that race, we would have had a full-blown meltdown on our hands. So how can the media then run out and say, oh, everything worked out very, you know, very well?
And anecdotally, they do report some of the glitches. We've seen coverage of the real problems in Denver, where lines were 2 hours long. And the issue was not the voting machines themselves, but this new poll book system that was stored on a central server that crashed several times and was running sluggishly at other times.
Well, that was the problem in Denver, which caused, you know, hours-long lines of people who were not able to vote at all. You know, they tried to, 2-3 hours they stood online and finally said, I can't do it. I got to go to work.
Yeah.
But we've got, you know, thousands of voters around the country in, you know, in California, in Indiana, in Utah, in Florida, on the list goes of people who were turned away without being allowed to vote. If that's not a meltdown, I don't know what is. And it was, you know, because in almost every case, the machines were not working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you need for a meltdown? Apparently, you know, you need it to come down to a single seat, a single vote. I mean, down in Florida right now, this is one of the big stories, down in Sarasota, Florida, in the 13th district, you've got a fight between Buchanan and Jennings
right.
to replace Catherine Harris's old House seat down there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 368-vote difference between the two of them, and as it turns out, some 18,000 votes have simply disappeared into the ether. It's something like a 30% undervote rate in several precincts. That is completely unexplained because in the race above it for governor, you had like a two percentage undervote rate.
Mm-hmm.
Below it for a hospital board rate race, you had 1.6% undervote, and yet 13% of the people who decided to go in and vote that day decided to not vote in this House race at all. It makes no sense.
Well, it was really close to Halloween, and you can imagine the ghost of Catherine Harris has a whole lot of power.
It scared people away from voting for anybody.
Yeah.
The problem is the absentee ballots for that same race, there was only like a 2% undervote rate. So why would 18,000 voters decide to not vote in that race? It makes no sense. It was, unfortunately, ES&S touchscreen voting machines, which mm-hmm. also have no paper trail. So how that's going to come out right now is anyone's guess. And keep in mind, again, had the House election been a little bit closer, had it come down to a single seat, we would have had a full-blown meltdown that even the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Associated Press would have seen as a meltdown. So I don't know what it takes. I guess... my coverage of the story at Computer World, I quoted from the Andy Borowitz satirical story that I believe you shared with me originally about a killer Diebold voting machine that breaks loose from its moorings in Florida and goes on a rampage and kills 9 people. I guess that's what it would take before the mainstream media actually understood the
dimensions, yeah.
Dimensions of the story, yeah.
Let's go to Greg in Sacramento. Welcome, Greg. You're on with Peter B. and Brad Friedman.
Well, I hope you won't give me a big black mark. I didn't know that you had Brad on tonight. I thought you were going to have open phones.
Well, what do you want to talk about? Go ahead, Greg. I've got a minute for you.
Well, I guess I can say since you got Brad on, I can say both of you, you're awesome, dude.
Oh, well, thank you.
For the work that you've been doing and the lack of sleep that you got this week, you still performed a national service to all of us. And what I was initially talking about, I guess I can tie it in, that when this Congress convenes, I would hope that, you know, because I initially was going to call you about impeachment. Everybody's talking about it, but...
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first priority of this next Congress should be this issue, the voting machines, the integrity of voting, our rights to vote, and ensuring that that's going to happen, not just
hearing.
Well, I agree with you, Greg. I'm tight for time. And what my fear is that Democrats are going to be so gratified by regaining control that they're going to say, oh, we don't need to worry about this anymore. And that kind of false sense of complacency is something we've got to fight and fight hard against. Thanks for your call today. More coming up with Brad Friedman. You can call us at 888-5-PETER-B here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah, Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreath.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
The Peter B. Collins Show originates in San Francisco. It's produced by Matt Renner, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. If you got HBO, you got to catch Bill Maher tonight. The H is supposed to be silent. He's going to out some more gay Republicans.
It's bigger. It's bigger than you. You are not me. The links that I will go to.
continue now with Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com. That's where you can go to get all the latest information on what happened with Tuesday's election. As we pointed out, the Washington Post and New York Times are kind of just trying to downplay the glitches that occurred. There are serious problems that remain. 8 to 10 House races are still undecided. And we know that thousands of votes have not been counted. And many of those votes, Brad, will never be counted. Is that right?
Well, that's right. Either they will never be counted or they simply cannot be counted because there is nothing to count in, you know, in many of these cases, in many of these races. So, you know, that's the fine mess we've gotten ourselves into at this point. And, well, heck, I'll even hold your feet to the fire, Peter.
Okay.
They weren't glitches. They were failures.
All right.
Failures of the system, failures, you know, they knew long ago what they were going to be up against when they designed these systems. They were meant to be, you know, mission-critical systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the papers love to minimize them as glitches or hiccups or snafus. You know, this is because you've got a system that nobody oversees, that there are no standards for. We had DeForest Soares on the other night.
Yes, we did. He was very powerful.
Yeah, and, you know, he was the Bush-appointed head of the Elections Assistance Commission. And, you know, he says there are absolutely no standards for voting machines in this country and that our elections are ripe for stealing. And, you know, what he's talking about is the fact that no one at the federal level, at the state level, or anywhere else gets to actually test these machines. And essentially, the voters of the United States of America become the beta testers for Diebold and ESNS during live elections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a failure. That's not a glitch or a hiccup. That is a failure of a system that simply does not care if voters actually get to exercise their franchise.
Brad, can you forgive me for my weak choice of words there? And Dave's on the line from Eureka. Sounds like he's out at the protest tonight. Hello, Dave.
Yes, again, my apologies in advance. I'm out in front of the courthouse.
Well, I appreciate your vigilance. It's the Veterans Day observed holiday, and it couldn't be more appropriate for you to be there with your protest signs.
Well, I think we're all in agreement that once again, and his company grossly misunderestimated the number of votes they were going to need to flip, and they won't make that mistake again if they get another shot at it. So I think, one, we got to start real hard and fast now to get rid of these machines. You guys have been doing wonderful. And I got one other question, too. Do you know, did Tony Trupiano concede because they didn't want him at all?
I don't know if he has conceded or not. I saw the tally published in the New York Times that he was down by about 12 points.
Yeah, but I bet if they count the paper, the absentee ballots, he'll do a whole lot better.
I'll tell you what, over the weekend I'll see if I can check in with Trupiano and get an answer for you, Dave.
Yeah, he was one straight shooting, plain talking dude they did not want to have in the Congress.
Well, you're right about that.
That's for sure.
Thanks a lot for checking in today,
Thank
Dave.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Now to Paula in Marina. Paula, thanks for calling. You're on with Peter B. and Brad Friedman.
Hi, guys. I'd like to thank you both for your leadership on all of these issues having to do with voting. And I want you to keep up the good work. There's a couple of things. One, I wanted to tell Brad about in the city of Marina at one of the polling places. They were giving people provisional ballots when they were asking for paper ballots.
Mm.
So people still need to be educated on that, the fact that those are not counted votes. But the other thing I wanted to say is I really think that partly the Republican strategy and why Rick Santorum conceded so quickly is because they do not want the truth to come out about these machines. They don't want these things to be examined because they are afraid that these machines will go out the door and be scrapped and they won't be able to do a better job of screwing our votes around during the 2008 elections, who do not let up.
Now, Paula, that's an interesting theory. The other one that occurred to me, and it's pure speculation, is that they were afraid that if you really open up the can of worms, we're going to see just how many worms are in there.
That's exactly it. And they hope that this will be given up at this point, or we'll back off of this. And the truth is we all know if we don't have a vote in this country, we have absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Brad?
Oh, anyway, that's it for me.
Okay, yeah, Paula, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for that call, Paula, and I agree with you. That's one of the reasons why I put out a quickie blog item on Wednesday, you know, calling on folks like Allen and Burns at that point to not concede their races. I called on, you know, Bruce McPherson to not concede his race, and I excoriated, you know, some folks who did concede their race, like Ford down in Tennessee, Santorum in Pennsylvania, and people wrote back, Brad, what the hell are you doing? What do you mean, you know, Santorum shouldn't concede? And these guys, you know, well, I knew what I was doing. I knew, you know, damn well that if those guys actually don't concede and fight for every vote to be counted and fight for those, you know, A, they're going to find out they can't count many of those votes because they're on machines. And secondly, they're going to find all kinds of problems, all those worms that you talk about with those machines. And I'm daring them to do it. I want to see them do it. I think, you know, if Bruce McPherson actually insists on every vote being counted in California in his race against Deborah Bowen, which, by the way, was the sweetest victory, I think, all night on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
If he does that, A, he's going to find out what a crappy system he put in place, and B, I bet he's going to find out that he lost by a whole hell of a lot more votes than he thinks he did.
Brad, let me pass along one item to our listeners that I forwarded to you yesterday. This came in an email from a listener, Sue or Susan, and she was a poll watcher in Marina, where Paula just called from. That's on the Central Coast near Monterey, if you're not familiar with the area. And she said, poll workers there told me the machines at the polling station were delivered a couple of days earlier and had been at the polling station ever since. Now, this is interesting because this particular polling place is a private residence. And so the poll workers and the people who own the polling place are the same individuals. And the day after the election, or actually on Thursday, she called the acting registrar of voters in Monterey County, the person who replaced Tony Enchundo.
What happened to the original one?
Well, he had some credit card problems.
Oh, I see.
And he said, trust me, if you remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, the new guy is Claudio Valenzuela. He took Sue's call, remembered her from a pre-election meeting, and at that meeting, she had asked him about the chain of custody on the machines, and he had given her a kind of glib answer. And he acknowledged that his answer was inappropriate when she repeated it to him over the phone. Then she went on to say about the polling station there in Marina, and she asked about how the voting machines get to the polling station. And Mr. Valenzuela told her that they're delivered by a private contractor. And he said the company is supposed to check to make sure that the drivers, you know, are on the up and up and not on the DL. And Claudio then said, well, I suppose that they conduct a background check on these people, but it's a third-party contractor, and it's kind of clear that Claudio didn't have a clue as to who these drivers were and whether they could be trusted. Then he said, well, you don't need to worry because there's a tape on the a seal on the machines, and it's checked by the poll workers before the polls open, and it changes color if it's been removed. So it's kind of a high-tech seal. And then she tried to find out where it's actually located on the machine, but he was kind of fuzzy on that. And the other input that we got was from Kashawa, the little town with a general store just inland from Carmel Valley, where they had their machine delivered on the Thursday before the election.
Yeah, you know, and those are two tiny incidents. Of which I've seen thousands of similar reports across the country. I mean, it is literally a tsunami out there of trouble and unsecured voting systems and failures. It's really just, you know, as I've said to, you know, a lot of these folks who are thrilled that the Democrats took over the House, where they gained about 30 seats so far, how do we know that they wouldn't have otherwise gained 40 seats? And, you know, so I hope when the Democrats take power and folks like Deborah Bowen, you know, get in there, they understand that the system needs to be repaired from top to bottom, because there is no telling how much they still were actually hurt in this election through incidents like the ones that you point out. I mean, those mm-hmm. happened all across California, all across the country. And, you know, it's difficult at times. I know when you and I were doing the radio show the other night, you know, dealing with so many incidents from all over the country. Let me just take a moment. I know you got to go to a break shortly, but let me just take a moment to point out that I think that the results that did come in are were due in no small part due to efforts of election integrity folks around the country who were vigilant. You know, you'll recall the other night we were getting reports that where they had kept the polls open. I think it was in Utah, if I recall, or Indiana. They were calling on folks to show up with chairs and food and water for the people who were stuck online. I mean, these guys were the heroes. These guys all around the country, the citizen patriots who spoke up, who did something, who took action, who organized, who were there on election night, who were videoing the vote. You know, these guys are the heroes that saved our country, as far as I'm concerned. And that goes down to people like Paula and the folks who sent you those emails saying, hey, this is what I heard, this is what I did about it, this is what I called my registrar and asked them about. These are the guys who are really making the difference, and that's why I think we had even the results that did come out on Tuesday.
Well, and here's a great column that was published by Bob Fetrakis and Harvey Wasserman, our colleagues in Columbus, Ohio, who've been on the front lines of the voter integrity movement, election integrity movement. And they wrote a piece you can read at freepress.org that the well-oiled, well-funded Rove Bush theft machine lost control of the U.S. House with the Senate as close as it is. This was written before they knew the outcome. Says just one thing. Somebody was watching. In 2006, that would be thousands of volunteer grassroots activists who left no stone unturned to expose rigged voting machines, Jim Crow registration roadblocks, trashed provisional ballots, manipulated absentee voting processes, and much, much more. And I thank all of you who have worked so hard and been so vigilant, because really, it would have been worse. We know that. And I take Greg Palast at his estimation that at least 4 million votes were suppressed or otherwise not counted in this important midterm election. And as the Democrats celebrate their victory, consider it could have been greater if they had been more vigilant and worked harder to clean up our electoral process. Brad, we're going to take a break and return. We got callers on the line. We'll get to you, so stay there at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, your number one choice for wealth building and real estate investment, we'll have companies that we think are going to be very hot in 2007. If you want to learn about investing in commercial properties, new real estate funds, and other exciting real estate markets, this is the show for you. For more information on how to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Or check us out on the web at rockrollandrealestate.com. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
For over 30 years, I have been helping people restore their skin's natural beauty. This is Claudie Assalit of Claudie Skincare Studio in Carmel. I bring a certain je ne sais quoi, as well as 3 decades of experience in top spas and salons. Claudie Skincare Studio features a selection of the finest products, and I am always training to stay at the cutting edge of skincare technology. At Claudie Skincare Studio, we specialize in healing facials, peels, Reiki, waxing, lash tinting, as well as nutritional advice to ensure your skin vibrancy and good health. To set up an appointment, call me Claudie Assalit at 625-4101. That is 625-4101. Smooth, soft, beautiful skin can be yours. Call 625-4101. A bientôt.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's give you the very latest. And, folks, not a whole lot going on, to be quite honest with you. That's our last report. I'm going to tell you that we do have one problem. Let's see. This is in Gilroy, southbound 101 at Monterey Street. Fender bender. It's on the right shoulder. A pickup truck and a car involved in this. So I'm taking a look at Gilroy or Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls or accidents to report on Highway 17. Getting reports of a problem in Morgan Hill that we'll pass along. It is southbound 101 after Cochrane, a two-vehicle crash in the center divide. An advisory for folks in Watsonville, nighttime roadwork, Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom this evening. And it looks like Caltrans will have one lane closed in each direction from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. for, looks like, 15-minute delays. So the project is expected to be finished in late November. And I'm going to let you know this report is brought to you by Toyota.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, Friday night at the radio with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And look what we've done, Brad. We've got a switchboard loaded with callers and just a few minutes remaining. So, callers, if I can ask you to offer brief questions or comments, we'll try to squeeze in as many as possible because Brad's probably willing to go till midnight tonight, but...
Not you, huh?
Not I. Ben and Salinas. Hello, Ben. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'd like to offer my analysis for your comment. We're in a battle. Okay, we have to be careful not to get caught up in our own euphoria. Now is not the time to drop the guard, but to double the guard. We got to stop the bleeding and heal as best we can, and then you get on with the business of accountability. These Republicans are cannibals. They have no problem cannibalizing our troops. They have no problem cannibalizing the Treasury as long as it winds up in their stomachs. But they have been wounded. A wounded animal will kill you. Wounded animals are very dangerous. So let's be careful, because remember, as far as the upcoming issues of accountability, it takes two-thirds of the Senate to override a veto. We don't have the votes there. It takes two-thirds of the Congress to remove for impeachment. Do we have the numbers there? This is where it might go. It's not time to cut the guard, but to double the guard. We still must remain vigilant because the stakes are too high.
Ben, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'm going to these move-on celebration parties this weekend, and my goal is to spread the word in a really nice way. Do not relax. Don't get drunk tonight and figure that everything is fixed and you can just go back to your bacchanalian ways.
Amen, brother.
But we must remain vigilant, and I agree with you. We got to keep the armor on, and when Republicans attack, we've got to push back and simply compromise and accept.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ben. Good to hear from you today. John in Carmel Valley, you're next with Peter B. and Brad.
Two questions for Brad. Bruce McPherson used to be known in Santa Cruz County, one of the most liberal counties, if not the most liberal county in the state, as a man of integrity and not that right-wing at all, a Republican. What happened to him as Secretary of State? And then the other question is there a system that Brad knows of right now in existence that he would like to see adapted, or is it adaptable, just waiting to be adapted, that would fix the problem that is both quick in counting and very verifiable?
All right. First question about McPherson, Brad.
If I see one more report about what a moderate, middle-of-the-road Republican Bruce McPherson is after this filthy, dirty campaign he ran against Deborah Bowen, where he used every Karl Rove trick in the playbook, you know, I'm going to strangle someone. He was everything but moderate, middle of the road, and gentlemanly. He was as far right as Rick Santorum and Karl Rove and everybody else in the way he ran that campaign. That said, as far as voting systems, there is a system good to go. It's called a piece of paper and a pencil. That'll work. Beyond that, if you want something quicker, you can probably optically scan those ballots. Yes, if the machines are completely publicly open-sourced, tested by anyone who wants to look at them, and the ballots are actually audited with a proper audit protocol that gives you a scientific certainty that the results reported by those machines are, in fact, the correct results. You have to do that because, as we've seen, and we just got another report about 9 different races that were overturned in Arkansas, where the ESNS optical scan machines miscounted the paper ballots. Good news was they had paper ballots to go back and count from.
John, thank you for the call. Let's go to Susan in Santa Cruz. Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing better.
Hey, Susan.
Good. Me too. I was a poll watcher. I saw some funny things, but one of the things, I got in trouble right away. I got my wings clipped because somebody came in and they right away went to write the provisional ballot with him, and I watched the process. So I walked outside because you can't say anything inside, and I just talked to him and I said, why don't you take a look for your polling place, because I hear provisional ballots don't always get counted. And so somebody overheard me, I guess. And they actually had the inspector talk to me, and she actually called headquarters and had me straightened out by somebody.
Whoa, a higher power.
Yeah, and so I had a conversation with this woman, and I was told that the vote in Santa Cruz would not be certified until all votes were counted, including the Wemahoo provisional ballot.
Yes.
And it could take 30 days, but everything would be counted and not certified until that happened. So I'm wondering about that. That's one. Two, a funny thing happened just before the end of it. This fellow was opening up the thing because it wasn't feeding right, the optical scanner, and he didn't realize it wasn't hinged. So the whole thing went on the floor.
Oh, gosh.
It just went right off the table. It should have been hinged. All right. So then when it came up, it wouldn't feed. So it wouldn't feed at all, and I noticed that the plates were fed into were crooked. So somebody noticed exactly the same time I did, so we both put our hands on it, got it straight, and it fed, but then it wouldn't go in the right hole. Meanwhile, they called headquarters, and this roving tech came, and she put it back together, and it turned out the whole thing was reversed from the way it was supposed to be in the first place, which meant it had less balance. Because it had to be, so she turned it around, and then it all looked right. So I just thought that whole thing was real interesting as a little episode.
Well, and it just shows
Tell me about the provisional ballot.
Good citizens who come to work at a poll on election day really aren't trained or capable of dealing with the problems that come up with these machines. I almost said glitches, but I know I'd get slapped for that. Thank you, Susan. Randall in Tempe, you're next, and thanks for holding.
Hey, Peter B. Hi, Brad. I'll make it quick. Just a few quick points. We finished our hand count audit of 2% of the precinct ballots and 1% of the vote by mail ballots here in Maricopa County, Greater Phoenix, Arizona. We are going to be in the legislature this year because people are going to try to water down our hand count audit law, and we're going to have to protect it. The Democratic Party is run by precinct committee persons. Everyone that can hear me talking right now has got to go to their Democratic meetings and become a precinct committee person, because we are the ones who elect the members of the Democratic National Committee. Now, Dr. Dean says they're going to get serious about election integrity. We have to hold them to it. Everyone who we just elected to Congress and the legislatures is going to take electoral integrity seriously, or they are going to be one-termers, and we are going to insist on it because we're going to run people against them next election if they don't take this seriously. And we're going to hope that Deborah Bowen in the great laboratory of California, which comes up with our cars and everything else that we need long before we get them, is going to design a system that is foolproof and transparent and that we can use. It'll be a model for across the country. And we're going to have to insist that the Rush-Holt bill, I don't know what you guys think about that, but something like that starts its way through Congress this year.
All right, Randall, thanks. We're tight for time. Let's let Brad wrap up here, and maybe he'll touch on some of your points. About 40 seconds, Brad.
Yeah, real quickly, I've got some concerns about that Rush-Holt bill. Perhaps we can talk about it a little bit more next week, because it is now going to be coming up for a vote, I think. As far as what you're doing out there, keep at it, and thanks for encouraging folks to do that. You actually have a pretty good head of the Democratic Party out there, David Wade. And finally, a note for Susan, the poll watcher. It's a really thankless job to have done that, so let me be the one to thank her for having done that and everyone else who's paying attention to this stuff.
All right. Well, Brad, take a long weekend.
I think I will.
Enjoy it.
I'm going to try.
Let's meet again next Friday. I'll talk to you then.
I'll see you there.
In the meantime, go to bradblog.com. Get the latest information. I'm Peter B. Collins. Been a long week. We all deserve a great weekend. Soak it up. Enjoy it. Join me again Monday, same time, same stations, here for the Peter B. Collins Show.
Keep smiling until then.
Bye-bye, Rummy.
Who cares about the clouds?
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Correspondent Sheila McVicker broke the story this evening. Intelligence agencies have been warned that Al-Qaeda might try to attack transportation targets in Europe during the holidays.
Arab and other intelligence sources tell CBS News that in the last 6 months, the mountains and battlefields of Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda has withdrawn well-trained Arab fighters. Using routes through former Soviet republics, Pakistan, Dubai, and reviving a route through Iran, hundreds of fighters have returned to their home countries throughout the Arab world.
One group intercepted as they tried to re-enter their homeland admitted they were Al-Qaeda, but told interrogators they didn't know why they were ordered home. Abu Hamza al-Muhajir, the leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, is heard on a new audio tape calling George W. Bush the most stupid president in U.S. history. He says Americans voted for something reasonable in this week's elections. A day after hosting the House speaker-to-be, Mr. Bush had lunch with the incoming Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. The message was the same, bipartisan cooperation.
My attitude about this is that there is a great opportunity for us to show the country that Republicans and Democrats are equally as patriotic and equally concerned about the future, and that we can work together.
The Democrats have hit the ground running, as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The Democratic leaders, Harry Reid in the Senate, Nancy Pelosi in the House, are both working on this federal holiday, starting to plan for the new Democratic Congress. One issue they're looking at is who'll chair key committees, though most of those jobs will be filled through seniority. That means Ted Kennedy will handle health and education, Carl Levin of Michigan Armed Services, California's Barbara Boxer will run the Environment Committee. On the House side, Charlie Rangel of New York will chair the Powerful Ways and Means Committee with taxes, Medicare, and Social Security in his portfolio, and Michigan's John Dingell will lead Energy and Commerce. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
And Senator John McCain will hit the ground running with his 2008 presidential campaign. Republican leaders are quoted as saying the process starts next week when McCain forms an exploratory committee. But before he makes a final decision, McCain plans to discuss it with his family over the Christmas holiday. Now listen carefully, you're about to hear the product of 18 months' work. That was it. It's the signature sound for Microsoft's new Windows Vista operating system.